Mr. Atkins. Good. Hi, good morning. It's 9:07, Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. I'm calling to order the first meeting of 2014 for the Dallas City Council. Welcome all. Welcome to those that are listening via radio. May the City of Dallas have a great 2014, and may we work hard and in a civil manner. We will begin with our invocation. I'd like to introduce Associate Pastor Ed Johnson from the Antioch Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church on South Hapkin in Mr. Atkins' district. Mr. Johnson is a graduate of DBU and Baylor University's George Pruitt Theological Seminary in Waco. He currently serves in that capacity a 5,000-plus member congregation in Oak Cliff under the leadership of Senior Pastor Dr. Wesley. He is also a published author and a blogger and is happily married to Tiffany, his wife of 11 years, and they have one child, Desiree. Following that, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll all rise. Thank you.
Let me first express my appreciation to Mayor Rollins and your office staff and to the entire Dallas City Council for this invitation to be here today to offer this invocation. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. To the only eternal God and Father of the Lord Jesus, I come this morning thanking you for each elected official that occupies a seat on this council and the other officials and staff that make up our city government. God, according to Romans 13 of the Christian scriptures, we know there is no authority except from you, and those that exist have been instituted by you. I pray today that the members of this council will continually understand and embrace this truth, that ultimately it was not the will of the people that placed them in these positions of power, but rather it was due to your divine prerogative. May they have an acute awareness that all their deliberations in heart and on record, and their decisions are ever before you, to whom they must give an account. May they therefore seek to carry out this sacred trust with all integrity, veracity, and equity. Grant them the wisdom they need to handle the affairs of this city in a way that promotes peace and prosperity for all its citizens. And lastly, grace them with the personal discipline to remain qualified for office during their terms of service. I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the soon-to-return King and Judge of heaven and earth. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Happy New Year, Council. I hope everybody had a good time with your families and some personal time off. I do want to remind everyone that next week we do have a Council briefing meeting, and we also have our retreat scheduled for Thursday afternoon and Friday. We'll be talking more about that. With that, I would like to call our open microphone speakers this morning. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your speakers with Clara McDade, Mike Smotherman, Sabrina Brenham, Ruth Stewart, and Lawrence Brodigan. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the room and not allowed to speak for the rest of the meeting. It is important that you say to the topic that you registered to speak on. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. Your comments need to be directed to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker, Clara McDade, not present. Mike Smotherman, not present. Sabrina Brenham, not present. Ruth Stewart, not present. Lawrence Brodigan. Mr. Brodigan will be followed by Cynthia Smith. Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
I didn't get everything you said. I apologize for the acoustics. But everyone, Mr. Mayor, Happy New Year. Let's look forward to a good one.
Yeah, she just asked for your name and address.
Oh, Lawrence Brodigan, yes. Tis I. Thank you for this opportunity. This is small D democracy writ large. This is great. I want to talk about civic pride, pride in my city. I'm a longtime resident, a transplant, and I want to have utmost pride in my city. I want the city to live up to its charter, to its creed. And yet, as the ambassador of this city to friends and whatnot around the world or across the nation, across Texas, they ask me questions that I can't answer. Like, how did they do that? And you guys know there's some goofy decisions and stuff. I want the city to stand tall. I want you guys to realize, even in closed doors, act as if your grandmother is watching. Do the right thing. I could throw a bunch of one-liners. I'm not going to do that. That's as simple as I can put it, please. Whether it's the ongoing chronic HUD, which we could all go back and say it started years ago. Well, that may be a reason, that may be whatever, but it's not a good excuse. Please stand tall and make us all prouder of this city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Cynthia Smith. Ms. Smith, please state your name and address for the record.
Excuse me. My name is Cynthia Smith. I'm here about a complaint and issues that I've been going through, trying to get it resolved. I'm one voice in God standing against the conglomerate bullies, and the bullies are Mountain View College, Mountain View Police Department, Texas Workforce Social Security Office. Mountain View College stole my Pell Grant loan, scholarship money, work study funds that I filled out for myself and was approved by the government. Mountain View College stole my federal funds and reported to the IRS that they gave me the money. The community college changed my transcript and documents so they can steal the funds They have been harassing me on a daily basis. Mountain View College has had people to go into my purse, my car, and my bag while I was attending college. At Mountain View College, they had the police officer to scream at me, and one of the police officers put their private in my face and demanded me to give him my police report. At Mountain View College, had Google and the Blackboard to take over my documents file, Yahoo account, Gmail account, and my computer. I am frustrated at this point. Then they went under the person, Francine Brown, who worked for the Texas Workforce, who stole my WI program money. Francine Brown worked with LaKayla Johnson at Mountain View College, so they can steal my WIA money and other people money qualified to go to college. This money was intended to help people go back to work. This is the biggest scam in the state of Texas. Texas workforce person stole my extended workforce money in the amount of $14,000 and told the IRS that they gave me the money. The Social Security office stole my money in the name of my name and other people's money, and lied to others. The Social Security office refused to allow me to see the judge. The supervisor at the Social Security office told me that I did not owe the money, I recorded them because I got tired of the Social Security office forging and changing documents to cover up their demonic fraud. Where are the DEA, where is the Department of Justice, and where is the police department? This is the biggest scam of the century. Mountain View College, Texas Workforce, and the Social Security Office. They're doing illegal things in my name. They even hired someone who worked for someone who's working in my name, using my Social Security number and my driver's license. And they reported to the IRS as if I was working. Is it because of my skin, the color of my skin, that I can't get any justice?
Thank you.
At this point, I'm frustrated.
Thank you, ma'am. Time's up.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your speakers this morning.
Thank you. We'll begin with our consent agenda.
Thank you. Your first
minutes first. Excuse me.
Your first item is going to be approval of the minutes of the December 11, 2013 meeting, and I do have a correction that is needed to addendum item number 21 to reflect that even though the item was approved, that the detached non-premise sign that was to come back at a later date is the size of 2,500 square feet. We left off the square feet.
Okay. Thank you. With that, we've got a motion approved.
Second.
Any edits, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 22 and addendum items number 1 through 3. However, agenda item number 3 is pulled by Councilmember Allen. Agenda item 5 is pulled by both Councilmembers Grayson and Carraway. Councilmember Kingston is pulling agenda item 9. Council members Grayson and Carraway are pulling agenda item number 13. Therefore, for your consideration, you have consent agenda items number 2, 3, 6 through 8, 10 through 12, 14 through 22, and addendum items number 1 through 3.
Mayor.
Mr. Carraway.
Mayor, I would like to add to a pool item for discussion, addendum item number 2.
Okay.
Number 2.
All right, so why don't you read again? Let's take two off, Ms. Rios.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Okay, so two is being pulled.
Yeah.
And staff just informed me that Councilmember Allen, can you clarify which item you wanted to pull? It was three?
Yeah, Mr. Carraway's addendum two.
Addendum two.
Thank you. Thank you. Therefore, for your consideration, you have agenda items number 2, 4, 6 through 8, 10 through 12, 14 through 22, and addendum items number 1 through and 3.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Your first item for individual consideration is agenda item number 3. It's authorized a 3-year service contract for window glass replacement services and repairs for all city buildings, Stafford Genoa Holdings, Inc., DBA BJ Glass Company, lowest responsible bidder of 4. Can Councilmember Allen pull the item?
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Mr. Allen.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I pulled this item because this is a unit price, and I really was curious about the internal controls that were in place to make sure that those pricing were being reviewed. I have talked to the proper staff, and I'm sure that they are being reviewed. So, end of discussion.
You want to make a motion?
For approval.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item 5. It's authorized an amendment to resolution number 131106 for the conditional grant agreement in the amount of $500,000 with Jubilee Park Community Center Corporation to, number 1, allow non-recourse language in the legal documents with Jubilee Park Community Center Corporation, and number 2, extend the completion date to June 26, 2015 for the acquisition, demolition, relocation, pre-development, and construction of the Jubilee Neighborhood Project. Again, Council Members Grayson and Carraway, pull the item.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway, you want to say anything? Ms. Grayson? Okay. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mayor. And let me say, I'm going to be supportive, but I did talk to Mr. Medrano And the concern that I have is that I do not want to begin to set a precedent of how we're doing this particular item. Teresa, if you'd come forth and kind of express some of the conversation that you and I had as relate to this item, and I think it's very, very critical. One thing I do want to say that it has been explained to me that the city, the applicants have requested where the city cannot have a recourse in suing should there be a problem. And we would just simply take back the property. My position has been that if we take back the property and the property is in, let's just say, environmental status, we not only take back the property, but we take back the problem. So that's been my concern. Teresa.
Yes, sir, council member, and we had that discussion last night, and I'm sorry I didn't have that information available to you last night. We did check this morning. We have seen the environmentals on these 9 lots, and there are no environmental concerns on the lots. So that was a good a question, and I feel like we're in good position now.
Yeah. So we are giving the property without environmental problems, but if we were to encounter some while it's in their possession, and then they falter, and we subsequently take the property back, then we take that back plus that problem. And what I want to do, how many times do we do this?
It's unusual that we do this, sir. However, this is a somewhat of an unusual project. This is the Jubilee.
Right.
The grant was approved back in June of last year. This will produce 20 single-family homes. Jubilee is contributing about $2.5 million.
Right.
They have 115,000 in each unit. The city will contribute 25 in each unit, so each of these units will have a value of 140 units. They have about a year and a half to complete the project. Since it is residential construction,
and
the likelihood of environmental contamination
and
is relatively
small. And that's why I support
small.
It, because it's a good project, but I do want to make sure that I'm on record saying that, as you said, we don't usually do this. I don't want this to set a precedent for us moving in the future. Because we did this one,
absolutely.
Then we'll go over and do another one.
Yes, sir.
And that's some of the things. So with that, Mayor, I'm fine. It's Councilman Madrona's district, and I'm in total support. But I did want to make that one stipulation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'll take that as a motion, Mr. Caraway. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Madrona will make the motion. Mr. Alfonso, second. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 9 is authorized number 1, a professional services contract with Hargreaves Associates, Inc. for schematic design and construction cost estimates for improvements to John Carpenter Plaza located at 2201 Pacific Avenue. Number 2, the acceptance of funds in the amount of $307,555 from the Deckard Foundation, and number 3, the establishment of appropriations in the amount of $307,555 in the Capital Gifts Donation and Development Fund. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could we have Mr. Winters or someone from Parks? Thank you, Mr. Winters. The item says that Carpenter is, let's see how it's put, that it's on the priority list for the downtown parks plan. My concern here is, how are we going to tell these engineers and designers what we want in terms of John Carpenter, because the thoroughfares surrounding that park are really still sort of up in the air?
We know what the end product will be regarding the reconfiguration of the streets, Councilman. So we've got the drawings that will be given as sort of the base plan to the landscape architects.
We know what I-45 is going to look like there.
That is a question mark. What's happening there?
Well, I think it's a big question mark, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the Deckard Foundation, and many thanks to them for their generosity. But this is another instance where we need to make sure that the city's priorities for our parks and for our trails are not are driven from within the city. And we want to cater to the people who want to help us out. But, you know, I'm still hopeful that we're going to get TxDOT to take a look at maybe taking out I-345. Maybe that sounds like a pipe dream to some people, but, you know, I think it's something that at least needs to be examined. Right. And until we know the answer to those questions, do we really know what the future of Live Oak is? I mean, we're talking about closing the southern end of it. And I just think until we have those questions answered, it's going to be very hard to give these designers. I want to avoid wasting our contributors' money by creating a plan that will ultimately be impacted by the thoroughfares. Does that make sense?
It does.
Is there a way to address it? I don't want to reject a gift to the city.
That's something. Let me bring that up with the donor and see if that's something that might possibly be considered to delay the project. It's also possible to do several alternative designs for the park, one with an overhead and one without.
Okay.
For example, the overhead, our response to the overhead will be to place probably court games under the elevated covered sections of the overhead freeway. But without it, I think that could be a very different design, and maybe that's something we could take a look at.
Mr. Winters, are we going to offend the contributor, the donor, if we delay this a little while just to talk a little bit more about it?
Let me, if you'd like, I could set up a meeting to discuss that.
That'd be great. With that, colleagues, my motion will be to hold this for a month and bring it back after we've had a chance to take a look at the future of this park.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? So what I'm hearing from you, Mr. Winters, is this month is not going to impact this gift and or our plans there.
Right. There's correct. There's no construction funding.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Davis?
I would like to ask a question. Why would you guys not talk to him before it appeared on the agenda?
I'm very sorry, Ms. Davis. I can.
Why was the conversation not held before it appeared on the agenda? Why was the conversation not held with him before it appeared on the agenda?
Your question is why?
Why did you not meet with the person for that district before it appeared on this agenda?
Well, I think we had met with Councilman Kingston a while back to go over the priorities for the district, and mentioned that this might be coming forward at some point with the interest from the Deckard Foundation.
But did y'all go back and meet with him again? Did you go back and meet with him again?
With Mr. Deckard?
No, with Councilmember Kingston.
No, ma'am.
Okay, and that's the question I'm asking. Yeah. Knowing that it was going to appear on the agenda, knowing that he might have some questions or some concerns, I think you guys should have met with him before it appeared on today's agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Defer this for 30 days.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to clarify, the meeting date would be February the 12th.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 13 is authorize a contract for dog park improvements, drainage, erosion control, and parking improvements at White Rock Lake Park, located at 7700 Mockingbird Lane, AS Con, Inc., lowest responsible bidder of mine. Council members Grayson and Caraway pull the item.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. This is probably one of the most utilized dog parks in the city of Dallas today. This was in a 2006 bond issue to improve this park, which the initial cost was like something like $40. So this is going to be totally revamped. It is a great thing for White Rock, which is a signature park, which the entire city utilizes it. So this is a good thing, and I'd like to move approval of this item.
Thank you. Motion is second. Mr. Caraway.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Sheffy. And I do understand it, and this is your district. The only thing that caught my eye was the fact that, not that it was a dog park, let me be real clear. When serving on the park board as vice president, I put the first dog park in, led the charge, and it's the dog bark park in Deep Elm, myself and Barry Anino down in the Deep Elm area, so I'm very supportive of dog parks. But the only thing caught my eye and the reason I want to speak on it is to get a little background, a little history, because it's $946,495 that we're doing improvements on. And Willis, if you could come back and just enlighten me, because we're doing, these are improvements to the dog park. How much did we first put into this deal, into this park? And it's not like we're building a new dog park. These are listed on the agenda as improvements.
Mr. Caraway, it basically is almost a complete reconstruction of the park, which was built in 2001 at a cost probably of $40,000, most of that donated. So a lot of, in order to get that park operational very quickly to meet the demand, a lot of things were left out of the original park, like irrigation, drainage, things like that that are very important. So basically we're expanding the park almost by 80%. And we're adding for the first time irrigation, drainage, new fencing for expanded boundaries, and other pedestrian amenities that we just didn't have the budget for 12 years ago when we originally built it.
Why would we underspend in 2001 and put, you're saying we only put $40,000 into this project in 2001? No additional dollars,
because
just $40,000.
It was not allocated in any bond fund. It came to the city from the private sector and the dog supporters, and they raised some money. We were able to put maybe $10,000 or $15,000 in operational funds into it, and that's literally all the funding we had for it.
Okay, and I have, again, and Sheffy, I have no problem in supporting, but at the end of the day, when we make a decision to move forward with a project, it should not start out being underfunded and then coming back, 10, 12 years later, asking for $1 million. And I look at this particular $1 million, and I go back to the point that we were talking about the arboretum, we were talking about swimming pools, we've been going through years and years of this, doing budgeting, and where we're fighting to get, things that are of cost of keeping, just like a swimming pool, and I hate to use that, it might not be a good example, but a project of $60,000. We're looking at the fact, Mayor, that we're dealing with the Fair Park that's underserved, and we're looking for some millions to put into some things, and we have money setting aside, even though the voters, I understand, in 2006 voted to do this deal, but it's still something that I think raises the concern that we should be talking about, our priorities. We're dying at Fair Park, and we got millions of dollars somewhere that could be utilized to do that. And I have a problem with the fact that we're now, from 2006, we got $1 million and we're putting it into the dog park, in which, Sheffy, I'm not beating you up. I'm voting with you with this. I want you to know that. But I think it is imperative that I bring this matter up, that there's $1 million that we're putting into the dog park, and there are other essential things that we've been dealing with for over a period of time. So I want to just make that one point, and I've made that point, but I want us to, in the future, when we do some form of construction and we're going to do something, let's do it right from the beginning, so 11 and 12 years later, we don't come back and say, well, now we need to do erosion control. For example, we're talking erosion control, and on this agenda, it states erosion control as well as a part of this improvement. But I have people over at Glen Heights that have homes that have been begging for dollars for erosion controls that their homes are falling into. So I have to go back and explain to them, and rightfully so, why we're putting erosion money into the dog park versus putting it into their homes, even though that's a pot of money that's not in our district. I clearly understand that. But at the end of the day, I must speak up, and that's what I'm doing. and just voicing that concern. But with that, Chef, I'm supporting this $1 million dog park. I want you to know that. And I'm going to try to bring my little dog Annie over there.
That's your park, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to do that. So with that, Mayor, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Willis, was this how many dog parks? Was this the first dog park we ever had?
It was, Mr. Allen.
So this was an experiment.
One way to look at it is the $40,000 investment bought us 12 years of use. I think we got a lot for our money, and it's also the most popular dog park in the city. We've since built some others. Mr. Caraway mentioned Bark Park Central, working with the Deep Ellum Association, was number two. We have a couple in District 12, and we're getting more and more requests throughout the city for more dog parks.
Yeah,
this is very heavily
it started off as a it's just let's do one, see what happens, and
exactly.
Then come to find out. That's a hot commodity.
That's
correct. It's a hot commodity.
And it was popular beyond our wildest imagination.
I guess my next question is, was that this was approved by the voters, because we only get, each district only gets X dollars amount, and each bond fund is kind of split all up.
Correct.
But each district only gets X dollar, and that council member has to make a hard decision on how to spend those little monies that we get. So why, and this was back in 06, why did it take 7 years to finally get to the point now to spend it? I'll pass on that question. So I'll be supportive also.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Yeah, I pulled it not because I have any problem with Sheffy's item, and I talked to Sheffy about this. It's because this was a revised item. And, you know, constantly what I'm doing, I don't know if the rest of you do it, but I look at these revisions and I say, where in the heck is the revision? And apparently one of the bidders wasn't listed, and in the revision it was put back in there and it was underlined. But we never know what the revision is or why the revision was put in there. I'd really like some more information so I don't have to call staff all the time and say, what was the revision? Why was the revision? You know, what was it all about? It would really be helpful to just say one of the bidders was missing, or one of the bidders, there was something about a bidder, or there was something about the minority participation, or there was something about the council district number, or something, so we're not constantly hunting for what the revision is. I mean, I can spend my time better than hunting for the revision, okay? That's my concern about
this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say one thing. How many dog parks do we have in District 4?
There are no dog parks in District 4.
How many dog parks do we have in District 8? In Tanel's district?
How many
do we have in Ms. Alonzo's district in West Dallas?
None.
We have one in Ms. Davis's district, but that's in Bugner Terrace that we share, and we it was the greatest opportunity for us to have on Samuel that dog park that's now Dallas County, but we don't have dog parks, and then how much did the dog park cost in district in Ron Atinsky's district? How much did we put into that dog park out there? The one with the dog prints all in the sidewalk in the city and all that.
I can answer that.
Okay, yeah. Ms. Grayson? We put a lot of money into it.
We put in that dog park. I didn't put this in that dog park,
okay.
But $2 million was spent on that dog park.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that came from other parks in District 12.
Yeah.
So that was the council member's prerogative at that time, who decided to shift those monies from people parks to a dog park.
Right. And I think that the park board, which operates autonomously from us, have some and share some input as to where those dollars should go. And even before it gets to the council member, you're looking at the fact that we're putting millions of dollars in the dog parks. And we're talking about closing libraries and building things. And even, Jerry, it was a situation when, in Tanel a few years ago, when we were talking about some dollars in Sheffield, we put $80,000 of the $100,000 into a project during the budget cycle. And I'm showing that we want to have something. And I would be remiss if I don't sit here and say something about it. And if we can build a dog park for $40,000, And well, give us, we got more dogs. Maybe that's what the dogs need in the southern sector, is a park to go play on. Okay? And so at the end of the day, we're spending millions of dollars on dog parks. But we have a dog, stray dog problem throughout the southern portion of the city. And I want to just make it a point. We don't have a dog park. And doggone it, if all these millions of dollars of these dog parks with air conditioned dog houses and all these other things that they got going, then give us something. At least put us in a plan for a dog park somewhere. Put it over at Glendale Park so that we can bring our dogs over there. I'm through with my rant for
Thank you. Mr. Allen?
Mayor, you can tell it's going to be a slow agenda today. A lot of conversation. Along that same lines, we might want to have conversation, and we might maybe just need to bring it back to budget, finance, and audit, Mayor, where we talk about the bond program and what each district gets in the bond program, how we vote on the bond program as a group, how we send it to the citizens, and they vote on it as a group. So maybe that would, you know, so we understand so our citizens understand that this bond program, it's a capital improvement. That's what we voted on. Every council member, if they want to split their money up, they want to put their money in dog parks or they want to do it in that, they can do that. It's kind of their, not their prerogative, but they got a strong say-so on that. So I just want to make sure the citizens understand that we have limited resources per district, and at the end of the day, we decide to some degree what we want those amenities to be. And it's going to be up to us. So don't pick, you know, so dog parks might be a good example to go forward on some of these other areas. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to say, before I hear from every dog lover in District 12 and District 11, because we have two of the most wonderful dog parks in the city, it's not that I have a problem with the dog park. The point I was trying to make is that it is, as Mr. Allen said, up to the council member to decide how they want and where they want to put that fund, and put those monies. So decisions are made as to funding that dog park by the council member in that district, and that's the point I was trying to make, which was what Mr. Allen just said.
Last time, Mayor, real short, if I could.
Pardon?
She's not finished yet.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, finish.
I think I'm finished now, maybe until I hear Mr. Carraway's remarks.
All right. Well, good. Well, let me just say, as a member of the park board, as a former member of the park board, we made the decisions that came to the council. And so the park board makes that decision as to what their suggestions are going to be presented to the council member. And so let's be real clear. It starts on that level. And then, yes, the council member can override and say what they want. But the recommendation comes from the park board member that we need a park, that we need a dog park. So this happened on the sixth floor in the park department. And then it elevated up to the council member for the final decision. And so we're certainly not going against the council member's, the park board's recommendation, not necessarily. But at the end of the day, and that's one reason, Mayor, when we do this charter review, that I'm suggesting that we consider bringing the park department under the city manager's form of government, because there are decisions that's being made that are financially impacting us that we ought to have more to say about, Fair Park being one, and other operations that are going on currently. Now, the park department, the park board makes the decisions first. And then they send the recommendations up to us, the council, for our stamp of approval. It's not something that the people just said. It is what they presented to the public. And so they should be better empowered to make the proper decisions of the necessities that are needed in those areas. And I'm through with it. I promise, whatever you say, Ms. Grayson, I'm not going to respond. I'm going to let you have the last word. I'm going to try not to.
Just go ahead and sign that. Ms. Grayson?
Yes. Mr. Winters, did the dog park in District 12, the one that's up by the George Bush, did that get started in the park department with the park board? Is that where that originated?
No, ma'am, that was not included in the allocations for the 06 bond program.
That's what I thought. That was the question I had.
It was reprogrammed funds by the council member.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates, I apologize. I skipped you over you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'll accept your apology for skipping over me once. I have a question for Dwayne. Do you have a dog, Dwayne? Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
Got a good dog.
And a Bingo and Brown Sugar.
Okay, but I want to go on record that District 13 does not have a dog park, a City of Dallas dog park at this time. I think I'm hearing from residents we would like one. So I am investigating potentially. At this time, there's no bond money for me to have a dog park, but I'm going to be looking for some private funds for a dog park.
I'm totally in support of dog parks.
Okay.
I'm totally in support of it.
So if there's private funders out there that in the City of Dallas that want to help me put a dog park in 13, I've isolated a site, and I'm going to be trying to put a dog park. Thank you.
Thank you. And those last words, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The fact remains on this park that the council decided to let the city decide if this moved forward. And the park was renovated, and that's what we did. We put it in a bond issue. The bond passed unanimously, and that's where we are. And it is a signature park. It belongs to the entire council, all of us, and it's going to be a great event. It'll be a great park. It'll be enlarged, which it needs to be, because it is so frequently utilized. So I think that we need to move this forward, and let's try to pass it.
Thank you,
Mayor.
Thank you. We had a motion and a second, didn't we? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 2. Authorize number 1, assignment of the original contract with Johnson McKibben Architects, Inc. to the new established company name of JMA Johnson, LLC. And number 2, supplemental agreement number 3 to the professional services contract with JMA Johnson, LLC, for additional construction administration phase work for Cummings Recreation Center, located at 2900 Cummings Street. Councilmember Carraway pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Where's Willis? Hop on back over here, Willis. Mayor, this is, and Council, this is a project, a recreation center, that was once in the Honorable Councilwoman Von Sid Jones Hills district, now in my district, but the recreation center has been closed for construction, and it's been under construction, I think, almost 3 years. And we've had some problems, and we fired the contractor, but the community, when I go to the community meetings, the number one thing that they're beating me up about is when is Cummings going to open? And so you can tell us and give us a little update as to where we are with Cummings Rec.
Yes, sir. We terminated the contract with the previous contractor for failure to perform. We've had a number of issues with that contractor going back over quite a period of time. We try to negotiate and keep them going at the site because we know that putting a contract in termination adds 6 to 8 months in dealing with the surety and the bonding company. So we have now working very closely. The city attorneys have been working hard. We've got the surety has now agreed to restart construction. They've hired a contractor. He's currently on site today, and we're trying to get the project now finished by the summer.
And how long has this project been under construction?
The center has been closed for 2 years.
Two years.
Yes, sir.
And Mayor, there's two hot summers. That's too long for anything of this nature. And Mr. Winters, you've done a tremendous job in trying to close this gap. But it needs to be known that of this process that's unacceptable for a community such as that area on Cummings, and you know to be without. And those people are continuously screaming and are asking me. Yeah. And I also, while you're at the microphone, now tell me how long has Beckley Sena, my other rec center in my district, been closed, and what is the status on Beckley Sena?
That one has also had a number of issues with it, including being underfunded. We had to redraw and rebid it. It is currently nearing completion. We expect to open, be complete with everything in February, and hope to have a ribbon cutting around the 1st of March.
All right. So, Mayor, that tells you that the two most popular recreation centers in District 4 has been closed for a couple of years, with people not being able to go and recreate and seniors and all of that. But now we're but since then, we're now going to, you're saying, open up Beckley Center.
Yes, sir.
Next month.
Yes, sir.
We're going to cut the ribbon. And we're going to work through the process at Cummins.
Yes, sir.
To attempt to get it open by
mid to late summer.
Mid to late summer. So we may miss, depending the summer, depending on the weather. Now, I got a note about Anita Martinez. What is the status on Anita Martinez in West Dallas?
It has also resumed construction, and we're hoping that it will open up also this summer or before.
So Mary, it's a situation when we have three major rec centers not operating, have not been operating for a period of time. Under whatever the circumstances are, that is something that's not fair to the citizens and is not healthy for our community. But Willis is doing everything you possibly can with all three of those. Now, I don't know about any others, so I'm not going to bring up no more rec centers. But do we have any more clothes?
No, sir. That's okay. Enough. That's plenty. Okay. Anita Martinez, again, the contractor,
okay.
Terminated his own contract, and we had to rebid it as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Move approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to address Cummings because I'm intimately familiar with Cummings. Cummings has been closed extensively, but that is directly chargeable to the prior contractor. That contractor's malfeasance, misfeasance, inability to perform the work. The park department went above and beyond to try and save the work with that contractor. I commend you for all of the work that you did. You worked with me. The prior park director worked with me. You both worked with Mr. Caraway to try to save that contractor. She could not be saved. That is why Cummings has been closed so long. If we had jettisoned that contractor when she first began to not perform and had not tried to save her, Cummings would now be open. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Willis, the colleagues on Martinez, on the Alonzo District, her rec center. I just want to go on the record for the last year and a half that I have been personally involved in that project. We did have problem with the environmental of the project. It was under bid. There was not enough money to finish the contract of that project. The subcontractor who was in waiting to do a work could not perform the work because it would be cost more cost she had occurred to do that. I think what we have, Mayor and Mr. Caraway, on some of these contractors that who is doing the work, who is contracted to do a work, that we had a management company who was managing the park construction. Is that the first statement?
Yes, sir. We had a program manager.
We had a program manager who was not managed by the city.
Right.
It was an outside company who would manage those projects. And when you have a managed company outside manage a project, sometimes we lose control. And I think now we are managing those projects in-house now.
That's correct. We've taken all the projects back in-house.
And I hopefully, since we took those projects back in-house, that we can manage those projects back on price and back on saving costs to the citizen. But Monica, you know, that was a one deal that we try to push that center, try to make sure the contract, I know they came together, try to sit down, try to salvage that, but it was way overrun. I just want to put that out there. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Atkins, and everybody that's been talking about this rec center. But to stay on subject, Mr. Mayor, and on agenda, I just wanted to say, because I think it's important, it is in District 6, and the community is aware, especially the one real near there. And for those of you that don't know, that rec center is attached to the Lorenzo de Zavala Elementary, which is very active and very strong still. So we are working, and we couldn't have been more appreciative to staff. So I just wanted to share that information because of everything that's been that we have all been working together on. And I know that it's going to happen just like Cummings, just like all the other rec centers that are not opened right now because of certain situations, and a lot of them are different. But we wanted to make sure that we indicate that information. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Garraway.
I'll close very shortly. It is still our responsibility. We're the city, we're the park department, park board. It is our decision when we choose a contractor, we go through a bidding process. I would hope that we keep in our toolbox the flexibility to be able to choose, even though someone may say we can do it at a lower price. Let's not let the lower pricing be the deciding factor in which this is probably how that contractor at Cummins won the bid. We should be able to have another caveat there that would, just because you bid it $1 less, doesn't mean that we want you to come in and win this contract and delay us for 3 years.
Mr. Carraway, you're exactly right. We do have that capability. Our bidding process is called a request for competitive sealed proposals instead of just a straight public bid. Okay. So we're able to assign criteria to various points, which price is only 40% of the final scoring grade that we would use to determine. Quality and experience of the contractor is now a very important part of that.
Okay, and I appreciate that. And give me an update on Southern Skates, too.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 23. You do have nominees for individual as well as full council appointment. And along with that vote, you'll also be appointing some chair and vice chair, so we will be handling those appointments under one motion. To the Animal Shelter Commission, you have Jennifer Roberts to fill the general public count qualification, is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Board of Adjustment, Bruce Richardson is nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, Kurt T. Watkins is nominated by Councilmember Davis and has cultural volunteer experience. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Winnie Dixon is nominated by Councilmember Davis. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Daniel C. Perez is nominated by Mayor Rawlings. Lois J. Lilly is nominated to the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board by Councilmember Hill. To the Park and Recreation Board, Yolanda F. Williams is nominated by Councilmember Callahan. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Trini Garza is nominated by Mayor Rawlings and fills the 55-plus year of age qualification. To the for full council appointment, to the RZ-19 Reinvestment Zone Board, Cypress Waters, David J. Pittman is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and meets the registered voter qualification. You have Bruce Richardson nominated as chair to the Board of Adjustment by Mayor Rawlings. Casey Thomas is nominated as chair to the Community Development Commission by Mayor Rawlings. Trini Garza is nominated as chair to the Senior Affairs Commission by Mayor Rawlings. And John Johnson to the Senior Affairs Commission vice chair position is nominated by Councilmember Hill.
Do we have any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 24 and addendum items number 5 and 6. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 24 is authorized on-site reconstruction of 9 homes in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program Statement for the properties located at 1444 Rowan Avenue, 1430 Morrell Avenue, 2307 Moffett Avenue, 1907 Noma Street, 1948 Gallagher Street, 4023 Shadrach Drive, 1524 Fleetwood Street, 4003 Carl Street, 2531 Naoma Street, the total amount to exceed $927,000. Again, this item requires 2 seconds.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 4 will require a record vote and requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item to authorize amending and replacing Resolution 12-25442, number 1, provide additional closing costs and title expenses, and number 2, authorize acquisition, including the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary, to acquire 2 unimproved tracts of land, tract 1 from Harold Toplitz and the estate of Joseph M. Jack Toplitz, containing approximately 12,173 square feet, and of tract 2 from Tanner Montgomery, containing approximately 23,805 square feet, located near the intersection of Fellows Lane and Sapin Street in City of Dallas, Block 5, 7642, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item, for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic fields for the South Central Joppa Gateway Project, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
Move to approve.
Second. Got a motion, 2 seconds.
Record vote required.
Thank you.
Start casting your vote. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Davis, Carraway, Gates, Allen, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. Council Member Kleiman is absent. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
We move now to addendum item number 5. Authorize amendments to resolution number 132140 concerning the application with the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, on the proposal for the new construction of the Bruton Apartments located at 9415 Bruton Road, Dallas, Texas. This item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. Entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Move to approve.
Any discussion? Did we have 2 seconds? I heard one. Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 13-2141 concerning the application with the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, on the proposal for the rehabilitation of the park at Cliff Creek Apartments, located at 7300 Marvin D. Love Freeway, Dallas, Texas. This item requires 2 seconds.
And a motion is second in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes all the items for the morning session.
Thank you. We will now reset. I'm going to close into executive session. Council will go back in our executive session room and take up these items. If everybody could move back there immediately. We'll start at 10:15 there. Promptly at 10:15. If everybody's listening to me, good. Good. Okay. It is 10:06 a.m. January 8, 2014. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda. Lockheed and McKenzie v. City of Dallas et al., Appeal Number 13-1088-4, 1600 Pacific LP v. City of Dallas, HUD Case File Numbers 610-0449, 906-10-0449, 4, and the same in 6. Legal issues regarding the Dallas City Council Rules of Procedures, and under Section 551 of the 0.074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to discuss the qualifications of the candidates for the position of city manager. See you all in there in 5 minutes. Afternoon, we have a quorum, so we will begin. Apologize for being 15 minutes late, but want to get this going for the afternoon. We will pick up our afternoon agenda items, starting with the individual public hearings and related actions in our consent agenda. Ms. Rios, it's yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your zoning consent agenda consists of agenda items 25 through 27. Agenda item number 26 is being pulled by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Therefore, I'm going to read agenda items 25 and 27 into the record. Speakers will be called. Agenda item number 25 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property on the southwest corner of Siegelville Road and South St. Augustine Road. Agenda item number 27 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for multiple family uses on property on the east side of McKinney Avenue and south of Elizabeth Street. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Sir, if you would please come up to the podium. You'll please state your name and address for the record as well. You need to address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Please clarify what agenda item you're speaking on, and it is important that you stay to the topic. Thank you.
Speaking on agenda item Z123352, item number.
If you can put the microphone right next to your mouth, just pull it down.
Speaking on item number 27, Honorable Mayor and members of the council, my name is Ewing Severa Mosley, Jr. Most of you know me by my nickname is Sandy. I'm an 80-year resident of the city of Dallas. I love my city and I love my church, but I do not love my church when my church is greedy, and greed is a moral sin. The subdistrict that they are proposing is terribly inappropriate. It's a lovely structure, but it would be far more appropriate in another setting. They want to block off the street. They want to have only one access for the people at the other church across the street to have the, I can't recall the name of it now. They have a school and they have a church there. There is a condominium on the north end that there are 12 condominiums that are valued at $300,000 plus, and they want to put an open parking lot beneath the windows of these residents. That is strictly against PD 193 and the Oaklawn Plan. You are not enforcing PD 193. Open parking lots are not allowed in PD 193. If these people are allowed to have a subdistrict, they'll put any darn thing they want. They'll put any darn thing they want. The height is inappropriate, and they can't even maintain the property that they have now. And there are over 75 trees on the property, copies of which you have, and they aren't going to replace them. They haven't even maintained the trees now. And I think it's terribly inappropriate, and I would certainly encourage each one of you to think before you vote on this greedy, greedy project. And as all of you all know, I've been sober for over 30 years, And I can darn well tell you that if your vote is not as I would like for it to be, I will not go out and take a drink, because I have too much love, support, and understanding from my fellow man and from each of you. And, Mr. Mayor, I can assure you that my cousin Morris would not support this, and he was your hero. Thank you for your time, and I hope that you will give this due consideration and think before you vote for a greedy, greedy church led by a greedy Canadian rector. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve agenda items 25 and 27? Are there any speakers in favor? We have one individual coming forward.
Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, Dallas, Texas. Item number 27, representing the Church of the Incarnation. We want to add a second sanctuary. They're meeting, half of the parishioners are meeting in an education building. The Oak Lawn Committee supports it. The Planning Commission unanimously supports it. We'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve agenda items 25 and 27? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Thank you. Discussion, Mr. Kingston. Mr. Kingston, I would like to, you okay with what's going on here?
Yeah, colleagues, this has been vetted through. And first of all, let's say happy 80th birthday to Sandy Mosley. This has been vetted through Oak Lawn Committee and the Planning Commission unanimously. They're adding, I mean, we want to grow churches. It's a feature of residential life, especially for those of us who have a faith life, and they're going to park this very responsibly. It's less than the typical parking requirement for a church because of where it is in a denser neighborhood. So I'll be supporting this. Hope you do too. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized in relation to agenda item 26.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I moved that we defer item number 26 to February 12th, right? I think I got it right. To February 12th, 2014, and leaving the public hearing open. Did I say it right?
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Griggs would like to be recognized in relation to agenda item 28.
Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to go ahead and keep the public hearing open and to bring this item back on February 12th.
We got a motion and a second from Mr. Atkins. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 29 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1935 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the south corner of Longview Avenue and Forney Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 17 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of a request. We received 5 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, if you would please come closer to the podium. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please notice the timer on the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. And it'll be important that you stay to the topic. And please direct your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Kevin Rana, and I'm speaking on behalf of my father, Brock Rana, and M&J Food Store and BK
Could you put it closer to the mic? Thank you.
My name is Kevin Rana, and I'm speaking on behalf of my father, Barack Rana, and BKPR Corporation. We would like to thank the City of Dallas, Mayor Rawlings, and all the council members for our support and making our business grow. Also, I'd like to thank council member Ms. Carolyn Davis for helping us making our business grow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I did go out to their store. They did some upkeep on some things I asked them to do, and I thank the family for doing that. So I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 30 is a public hearing for an application and an ordinance granting an RR regional retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the west line of North Walton Walker Freeway north of 20 Grand Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 27 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 4 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to approve.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items 31 through 33, as well as addendum item number 8. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for mixed uses on property on the south side of Northwest Highway east of Lemon Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 60 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 3 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward.
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, representing the applicant in this request. We've worked closely with the staff. We're in agreement with theirs and the CPC's unanimous recommendations. Respectfully request your approval. Happy to answer any questions.
Are there any other individuals in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
I move to close the public hearing and and move for approval.
Second. 2 seconds, Mr.
Mayor. We've got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 32 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed-use district on property on the north corner of Harry Hines Boulevard and West Mockingbird Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 21 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 32.
Thank you. We have a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 33 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to sub-area B of plan development subdistrict number 66, within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on the south side of Harwood Street, southeast of McKinney Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 75 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and 61 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mayor, Council Members, Jim Harris, 6930 Midbury Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75230. I'm here today on behalf of the applicant, KDC. I'm pleased to report that with Council Member Kingston's assistance, KDC has been able to address the concerns of the Homeowners Association for the condominiums across McKinney. That understanding ensures that the rezoning is dependent on the property being acquired by Invesco. Invesco's acquisition will result in a very nice office building, probably in the $40 to $60 million range, new construction jobs, new businesses locating in the uptown area, and ensures a consistent entryway to the Clyde Warren Park, at least along Harwood. We'd ask that the council approve the rezoning request, which the staff recommends, the Oakland Committee supports, and which the CPC unanimously approved, although we would request one minor modification. The CPC recommended a 12.5-foot setback, and what we would ask is that be changed, that's in section S66.108B, to 11 feet. The 11 feet ensures that the building face on our side of Harwood will be consistent with the location of the building face on the opposite side of Harwood, so we would have a consistent look and entrance to Clyde Warren Park. And with that one request for a minor modification, we would request approval. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to approve as approved by CPC with the following change. Section S-66.108 sub B is modified as follows. Setbacks from street frontages. Minimum setback from McKinney Avenue is 15 feet as shown on the conceptual plan. Minimum setback from Harwood Street is 11 feet. No minimum setback from St. Paul Street. This motion is made subject to amending the conceptual plan to match that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Thank you. Any discussion?
May I be heard briefly, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, of course, Mr. Kingston.
I want to really thank Jim Harris, KDC, and Invesco for their willingness to work with the residents that live right next door in a very nice building, 1999 McKinney. They went above and beyond. We convened a mediation at Mr. Harris's office on a Saturday in order to try to get this agreement hammered out. I'd estimate that my time on this is probably in excess of 20, 25 hours. I can only imagine the lawyers who actually got hired on this file. Roger Albright is here today, represents the residents at 1999 McKinney, and those residents have also put in long hours on this, and they didn't get paid for it. This is a great example of developers and neighbors coming together to make a project work. I would also point out to the council that Invesco is coming into Dallas in a big way. This originally was going to be their headquarters building, but they instead chose to take down space in the Central Business District, and this will be an investment property for them. We're going to be having a celebration of their relocation to Dallas that's going to move several really, really premium jobs and a really great investor into the city of Dallas. So once again, thanks very much for all your work on this. And since we have an agreement, I'd very much appreciate your support for it, colleagues.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 34 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from Thomas C. Marsh Middle School to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a proposed general merchandise or food store greater than 10,000 square feet, CVS Corp., on property on the southwest corner of Forest Lane and Cox Lane. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? You'll please come forward, sir. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, good afternoon. Richard Sheridan, 11661 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. And Happy New Year. This is a repetitive variance request that comes before the council almost every month or every week. Close to my heart. KERA just had a great item on alcohol-related deaths. I think they put out there 88,000 people each year die from the health-related alcohol issues. And there's certainly a number that die from DWI. I believe millions of American citizens are negatively impacted by alcohol. I had an issue back when. My father was an alcoholic. And being an Irishman, I think there's a saying, had it not been for Irish whiskey and Guinness Stout, the Irish might have conquered the world. That's not turning lemons into lemonade. That's kind of a sad statement. I believe that any applicant for a variance related to alcohol should pay a fee that goes into an education fund. I believe we need minimally once a year an alcohol awareness at our schools and to our community. We have an alcohol epidemic at college level. We have an alcohol epidemic nationally. But certainly, the Hispanic community, I think it might be out of proportion of the general population. I believe, again, we need to put money in a fund. Any applicant that requires a variance for getting closer to schools should put money in that fund, and that money should be used for education and sometimes maybe scaring the bejeebers out of our children to think twice before they guzzle that bottle of vodka or whatever it is that's going to cause their death and much suffering and sorrow in their families. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Sheridan.
Are there any other speakers?
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202, representing CVS, available for any questions or comments you may have. Just want to highlight a couple of items. And the training that CVS does for its staff in selling these products is paramount. Be mindful that besides alcohol, CVS is a pharmacy, so they have to also check for prescription fraud and also for tobacco sales. In addition to the training that they have, their equipment is set up. You'll notice when cashiers go, they have to log in to the cash register. There's a backup system so that if someone's trying to purchase alcohol before noon, it will not allow that transaction. Also, when that employee logs in, it comes up that they are not old enough to sell alcohol. It also automatically calls for a manager to come to conduct that sale. Finally, CVS, like many other corporate entities, has a one-strike policy with its staff. After you've gone through your training and you've done this assessment and you are found to try to sell alcohol to someone who's not qualified, you are immediately terminated on the spot. So, again, we've had a really good relationship with DISD in this case and hope for approval. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers in favor, that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the variance. I do want to make aware to my colleagues that I've spoken to the neighborhood. There's several other grocery stores that sell alcohol that are approximately the same closeness to the school. And I also have a statement from the principal that she does not have a concern if the CVS decides to sell alcohol.
Two seconds.
We got a motion, 2 seconds. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is a public hearing and approval of the fill permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 1.57 acres of the current 4.57 acres of land located at the northwest corner of Northwest Highway and Lothar, of which 2.36 acres is within the floodplain of White Rock Creek, fill permit 13-02. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item?
Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, Dallas, Texas, representing the future owner of this piece of property. This is a property that we've worked with Mr. Cadane and Mr. Allen and their plan commissioners and the city staff. We're very excited about a TOD project in Dallas that this will be. Actually, as I think Ms. O'Donnell and I have sort of come up, it's a T-squared OD. It's right across the street from the White Rock Trail system, so it's trail and transit-oriented development. We are very, 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 very excited. I've told the architect and developer, if they don't hit a grand slam on this, they might as well just get out of the business, because this is a wonderful site with that will have, hopefully, if we can work with DART, a direct link to the back of the station for the White Rock station. And this will be, I know something that 20 years from now, when I drive my grandkids, hopefully, around, I'll be able to say I was involved in this. This is going to be a very exciting project for Dallas. I think we'll see this in planning places around the state of what a successful, on a bad piece of property, how you can still make a successful TOD project out of this. And this is the last probably public hearing step that we need to take. So we're very excited and ask that you approve this. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor, and only 1 second is required.
Okay, thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is going to be a great development. It is a great example for a transit-oriented development right next door to our DART rail. And you're going to get some very nice apartments moved in here. It's right by White Rock. And most of the folks moving there will be utilizing our lake, our trails. So with all that, I'd like to close the public hearing and approve addendum item number 7.
Second. Motion and second. Any discussion? Mrs. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say, Carl, I think that's the happiest I've seen you in a long time. See, this must be a great project. Good to see you so happy and smiling.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just had some questions on that. I was just doing the calculation. So is there like 0.79 hundredths of land remaining in the floodplain? Did I do that correctly? I think there's 0.79.
Yeah, there's a little bit on the north end that is trees, and it's not part of our development, so that's still remaining in the floodplain.
So you're going.
Basically, it's just along Lawther, and if you know that area, I'd hesitate to say it's technically probably still in the floodplain, but with all the improvements on Northwest Highway, I grew up not too far from there. When it would flood, you get the backwater from the water not being able to get under the bridges.
Right.
Well, now the bridges are, 20 feet higher? That someday we'll get enough rain, knock on wood, that fill up the lakes. But I really don't see this in the floodplain anymore.
So you're going to take 1.57 out of the flood, leave about 0.79 in.
Right.
Is there any possibility of that displacing water onto any adjacent property owner?
No.
So it's all on this side of the creek.
And like I say, the depth of the floodplain there is a foot or so. And the nearest property the lake across the street obviously floods, but the nearest property to us is on the other side of the rail line, which the rail line is way out of the flood.
So any displacement will go into the White Rock Creek?
Yeah, it all goes in that creek.
All right, thank you.
Carl, stay there.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Is there going to be a problem with connectivity with that multifamily in DART?
I really don't think so. Some of the issues, the back issues about all the developer changes and stuff. And now that we have two local developers involved in this and pretty much wrapped it up, and Will Curitan and Scott Rogers, who have both done a lot of things in the uptown area and stuff, and they're excited about it. I think I don't think it's going to be an issue with DART. I really don't. It may come down to the engineering more than anything else. Okay. You know, at some point, if you can't engineer it, you can't engineer it. I don't think DART will be an issue. And if it is, I will probably be on y'all's doorsteps.
Well, at the end of the day, and I know I suspect Councilman Cadane's the same way, that connectivity is so very important to really make that a signature.
I agree.
A signature.
I agree.
And that's what we're after.
So. Well, and DART from day one has been very supportive of the project.
Well, I hear the word engineering, and you're saying it's on the developer to.
Well, I think you know we've got to match the grade, and it's a long bridge to go across between our property and their property, so that's probably some of the issues they still have to work out. Again, and then of course the whole license agreement with DART and things of that nature.
But do you see a problem with the developer and the willingness?
No.
To spend that money to.
No,
make
not
that
at all. Okay. Not at all.
Well,
no.
Again, I just want to reemphasize. To make that a really a signature.
Well, I think it is. I think it is with them too. That's
good.
I think the T of trail is probably going to draw more people to there because that trail system there is phenomenal. But to have that transit there as the second T in there just
it makes a statement too. It
yeah.
Makes a statement about Dallas and who we are and,
definitely.
And what we're trying to accomplish. So that's why that connectivity is so important to have a true TOD development. And so
bike storage is important, going to be important in this development. Believe me, it is.
Okay.
Everyone will have a bike.
Make sure that you emphasize the view that I view TOD, that connectivity is very crucial for the overall development and the signature that we want it to be. Thank
Definitely.
You, Carl, for your
mm-hmm.
hard work.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Which department is TWM? Teresa.
Teresa, TWA.
Which department is TWM? Okay, it's the Trinity River.
Trinity River, I'm sorry.
Okay. How much is the cost of the project?
Go ahead,
you mean
please.
Of the development?
Uh-huh.
I'll guess upward of over $20 million, if not
okay.
more.
Are you needing any money from the city?
No, we're not asking for any money from the city.
Okay. So which is a good project? So $20 million is coming from the development.
Well, yeah, and it, not knowing the final design, it could easily be more than that, I would guess. But it's all private investment.
Private investment. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to be clear. If you want to get to White Rock Lake. And you're on a DART line. This is the one you get off on, right?
Right. Yes, White Rock Station. Yes.
I mean, this will be it. This is.
And
huge.
our people will just go out the front door.
Yeah.
Right.
Mean,
yeah,
literally, I understand
it's
that.
Great.
But this will be great. It'll be great. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Allen. Thank you, Mr. Cadane, for your leadership. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'm sorry, I was curious. When is this going to be done? Mr. Cadane?
Mayor, I've been waiting for it for 3 years to get done. When are we looking to start development? Or do we have even a start date?
I think we're hopeful to start development by the end of the year.
When is it going to be done is what I asked.
It's probably 12 to 14 months of construction.
Gotcha. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Kingston would like to be recognized.
Yes, Mr. Kingston.
Colleague, sorry about this. I need to move to reconsider 33. The motion, first I have to move to reconsider, right?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Okay. So moved.
We got a motion. Second, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried to reconsider.
Thank you, colleagues. On item 33, I move that section S-66.108 sub B be modified as follows. Setbacks from street frontages. Minimum setback from McKinney Avenue is 15 feet as shown on the development plan. Minimum setback from Harwood Street is 11 feet. No minimum setback from St. Paul Street.
Okay. There's a motion to say that there's some discussion. Ms. Grayson?
It fixes one very tiny thing. I changed. Oh, in the interest of your concern earlier, Ms. Grayson, I changed conceptual plan to development plan.
Okay. Hearing any discussion? We got the seconds, right?
2 seconds. I have Caraway. Thank
Ms. Alonzo. Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 8, a public hearing regarding an application to the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs TDHCA for 2013 4% low-income housing tax credits for Patriots Crossing, a 162-unit multifamily project located at 4823 South Lancaster Road, and authorize an amendment to Resolution Number 131867 to add language requested by TDHCA for a multifamily residential development for low-income families. Councilmember Davis would like to be recognized, Mr. Mayor, and this item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Mayor. Vernon, can you come forward, please?
Hold on here a second. I want to get you a question, but do we want to make a motion and a second first? Or do you want to hold? Okay, Ms. Davis. I just didn't want to make sure the protocol was right. Okay, Ms. Davis.
Yes. Bernie, did we get the drawings of how the units are going to look?
We are getting a fresh set for the elevations and the floor plans right now.
Let me say this, and I know this is in Mr. Carraway's district. And as the housing chair, and this is one of these TLDs that I have never saw the owner before. We never have saw who the team is before. And we're moving forward on this type of development. I've asked for the plan several times as the housing chair and have not received the drawings. I think it's totally unfair for Mr. Carraway to have something in his district, not to even know how the elevation is going to look. He might have an opinion about it. He might say it's too many. He might say it's not enough or anything. Let me ask you, why couldn't, because this is on Monday, and the day is Wednesday, why could they have not done it? Just a markup elevation of how the units are going to
work. We actually did have a meeting with Councilmember Carraway back in October when you all first considered this item, sharing at that time what the renditions looked like. We wanted to make sure there weren't any other changes other than what we already had in hand.
But we was briefed on this when Jerry was the executive director, and we asked for the same drawings, and we never got them. So this is not nothing new. And so I think every council member as the housing committee should have at least was able to look at the drawings.
I think we can certainly take care of that this afternoon with the old drawings.
The other thing I want to make sure that we are doing a letter, because there's another CDC that's doing tax credit down the street. So Citywide is doing a tax credit, and they're doing a 4% tax credit. Do we have the resolution, the letter for the resolution?
Ma'am, if I may, you had brought that concern up at the housing committee, and so we had our housing attorney call Austin, and because we got some conflicting information at the housing committee whether waivers would be involved, and so she did call Austin and talk, and Robin Bentley is approaching the microphone. She did speak to the appropriate officials. She sent a memo to the council last night. You've been sick, so you might not have gotten a chance to see that. But it did confirm that the waivers would not be required on this project nor on the Serenity.
Well, I need to see that. Ms. Carroll, I don't think we need to move forward with this project until we see that. We need to see that letter. I would not, because what happened is if we don't see that,
right.
I need to see that. If we don't see that, and then what happened, we move forward with this one, and there's another 9% down the street, it could stop his 9% because there's another 4%, which is down the street from the 9%. So I would like to see that in writing, please.
Sure. I'm happy to get you the memo. The test is a two-part test. One is if the two projects are within a mile, which the two projects we were talking about are within a mile. The second part of the test, however, is that the two projects have to serve the same population. And one of these projects is a general population project, and one is permanent supportive housing. So since they serve two different populations, they don't fall under that 1 mile, 3 year test. So we didn't need any kind of
letter. Let me see the letter.
I'm happy to.
Okay. So can you go get the letter?
I have it right here.
Okay. Okay, so because Patriots Cross and Serenity, they're both on the same area because one is permanently supported housing and the other 4% is considered what?
It's general population. There are three types, seniors, general population, and permanent supportive housing.
And let me ask one other question, Bernie.
Sure.
Why did it change from 150 to 162 units?
There was just a redesign of the building.
Ms. Carroll, we saw that 162 redesign.
Yes, and we presented that back in October as well.
Okay.
To Housing
Ms. Carroll, are you okay with 162, what you saw? Okay. So it was 162. Where would they park at?
There's going to be parking on the east side, which the way the property is situated, it would be facing the east.
And let me ask you, sir, why is the owners not here today? They feel you're going to speak on their behalf?
Well, yeah, I didn't anticipate that they would need to speak to design today.
See, this is what I don't think, City. I think the owners should have been here today, Bernie, and I don't think you should have had to speak on their behalf. And you shouldn't want to speak on their behalf because it is not the city's project. And that's one of the things I think we need to change from having staff to speak on any owner's behalf, Teresa, if they are not here to speak on a development that they are asking for lots of money from the city of Dallas. So I don't think you should have been here to speak on their behalf. Okay, I'm going to move for Mr. Carraway.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Ms. Davis, and you all can stay there. Let me say that... when you know that you're not too keen on certain things, you try to bring in folks that can guide you through the storm. And Ms. Davis, thank you for guiding me through this storm because it's been a storm. Is this, when we met back in October of 2013, was this when I met the little gentleman, Mr. Eagle, or whoever he was?
Yes, it is.
All right, so that is the only time that I've met and have seen this gentleman. And the drawings that you all did show me weren't too specific. They were kind of like what do you call them? Preliminary sketch type things. Okay, so I've not had the opportunity to just really go into what some of the things you're asking, the park and the elevation of this and those strategic things that we should know. I do feel that. It's imperative and for the owner and the representative to be here. Who's representing them today?
The consultant on this is Ms. Palmer. She came to your briefing in October.
Right, but who's representing today?
There isn't a representative here today.
All right, so when Dallas and Santos and them, when you all come down, supposed to be that a representative should come, and if anybody have any questions, they stand and ask and say, I'm here for questioning, just in case. Is that primarily what's supposed to be the fact? And that is not happening today. Okay. Is that something that should be happening today? Should they be here, Teresa?
Ideally, sir, yes. An applicant should certainly be present and available to answer any questions or concerns and make information available. This case is somewhat a little different. Doesn't excuse the absence. The case was approved back in October.
Right.
When the case was approved, the TDHC was still finalizing some rules. As those rules were codified, one of the requirements was a formal hearing. And so today's item was added just to cover that formal hearing so that it could meet the letter of the state rules. Given that's a very important step, it certainly would have been reasonable for the applicant to appear.
Okay. So in hearing that and keeping in step, what if this is, can this be sent back to housing if it were my choice to send it back so we could rebrief and see? And then if that were to be the case, would it have any effect moving forward with this particular project? And if so, what?
It will. The state has asked us to correct the resolution language no later than the 15th of this month.
in order for that project to move forward for consideration for the 4% tax credit. The bonds have already been approved.
So, Ms. Davis, is your opinion, and I'm, Mayor, if I could, to Ms. Davis, is in your opinion, then what should take place given the information just received?
Well, Mr. Carraway, this is what I'm saying. When I'm going to give Serenity, for example, in Citywide, he's been beaten up upside down just on his little project. He's gone through the ringers on his project. It is not fair for this nonprofit or for-profit to just sweep through when Sherman has been beaten up upside and down just to get some of his project just done by your Rudy's Chicken. Sherman has also had to go back and pay a lot of stuff. He has had to, he has gone for a lot. But here, this particular for-profit development come in, and since I've been on the housing committee, I've never have seen the owners. I never have seen who the body was working on this 4%. The only individual I've seen is the housing staff talking on their behalf. I have a problem with that. I think that staff should not speak on these type of projects. I think it sends a bad message when staff have to speak on these type of projects and when the owner is not here. If this had been Citywide, they would have not done it. He would have had to be here. So, what makes this project so worthy, Bernie?
That's a little bit of a tricky question. It sits across the street from the VA. That's a key site for the reinvestment in the corridor. The whole block is currently owned by the party. It provides affordable housing and newer housing to service the veterans and their families that have to stay at the hospital.
Well, you can't call it veteran housing unless it's approved by the president.
I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
Can it be veteran housing if it's not approved by the president?
The people that wish to reside there might also find that the veterans hospital across the street might be a close location for them to be serviced.
Absolutely. And in order for a veteran to live there, he or she has to have a voucher, some type of voucher.
Or cash of their own.
Mr. Carraway, I guess if we had to do this all over again, I would have said that, you know, we should have really took a close look at this application. I think we should have looked at the floor plan of this application. I don't think staff should have been the person out in the lead of this application because they have gotten so involved in the application to it makes it very unfair, I think. So at this point, I'm going to leave it up to your decision on what you want to do with this application. But I just see it it's a different in this application.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And so we have this waiver issue cleared up?
Yes.
Okay. And then it was on Monday at our housing committee, we were getting one member of staff was saying we wouldn't need a waiver. The other member of staff was saying a waiver would be needed. So I'm wondering if when something like that comes up to visit in person with the chair and the vice chair, because that was a big issue with everything going on at HUD, we need to get these waivers down, and particularly before the issues get to committee. So if the attorneys could come by and talk to me now that that's been worked through on more than just the brief memo about it so that we can get a understanding of it as chair and vice chair, because I know there's some confusion even at staff on the issue, but I'm glad it's been resolved. But just so we can all get back on the same page moving forward between these 4%, 9%, these different classifications, when the waivers are going to apply. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Cudane.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Mitchell, did I hear you say that if this wasn't funded by the 15th, it's gone?
That's correct. The 4% tax credit would not go forward.
So they'll lose it?
They would have to punt.
Refile for it, right?
Yes, they did file for it. The state approved the bonds.
Yeah.
And the second part of that includes a public hearing and public notice, public comment period. And then in late February, the TDHA staff, the board, will vote for the tax credits.
That hold it up quite a bit then. You're looking at 2 months out, month and a half out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
Yes. Mr. Caraway, I want to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
This project, when we start developing the property across from the VA hospital back in 2007, and I don't know if it was in District 5 or District 4 when we started doing acquisition of property in that area. And we went to HUD, and we had so many different layers of finance to move the Lancaster Housing Village to move forward down with our TOD from Markenburg to make sure the Lancaster corridor to go forward. With this part of the project, one of the project that you was talking about way back then, I'm just trying to get a clarification.
Well, when the two motels were there before anything got started, it was my dream that we would redevelop all of Lancaster Corridor, okay? And in order to do that, we first had to knock down the motels,
right,
which other projects then began to come after the motels were gone, okay? So
right,
it was the entire thing. And so when we put the TIF together,
right,
we put the TIF together to include that entire area. So it was, my vision was not just a particular one piece. It was the entire Lancaster Corridor. The reason we label it the Lancaster Corridor Initiative.
Sure. Right. And the reason why I bring this, Mayor, I understand, you know, the way how we look at it, but as vice chair, that I have been trying to push the Lancaster Corridor to get a development, to get it moving fast down the track.
Sure.
And I think that when Von Seal Hill was a council member in that particular area, we went to HUD. We had to do many different layers of finance just to get project done. I mean, if you look at the village over there, Lancaster Village, it's a whole lot of different layer of finance, a different kind of layer of finance, Jerry, just to get something done. And we were trying to work with the VA hospital, and by doing that, we look at the South Oak Cliff 3 line, which is we're going to have a groundbreaking January 24th, which is going to be 4 or 5 years ahead of schedule, which is over $125 million project, trying to bring more type of development around the VA hospital. I think on this particular, just my opinion, I know this is your dish, Ms. Caraway, that we should try to get everything what we can and make sure we're doing everything right in order to keep those developments coming down Lancaster Corridor. I mean, it's an economic opportunity. So I'm going to follow your lead, Mr. Caraway, and that's what I was saying. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Can I just ask a couple questions here, and maybe, or it's also for the council, so they can understand. This property is right across from the VA. And Bernadette, how much money have we as a city put into this land acquisition?
There's a little over $4 million in a development agreement.
Okay, so over what, four years or so?
Yes.
Okay. We put about $4 million in there. He's gotta start moving dirt by when, or that land comes back to us?
By this fall.
By this fall. So if this project doesn't get going by this fall, we need to get it out. I am totally supporting Mr. Caraway's effort in Lancaster. In fact, that's one of the big tenants in Grow South, and this is right there, kind of main on main, and that's why I've been supporting Mr. Sherman's projects, the Rudy project. All these have got to get done now, and this is a major strategic initiative for this city. I think this is an administrative issue. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't excuse a lack of attendance. And frankly, you're a good card player, and to me, we need to either put up or shut up on this thing and move on down the pike, okay? And he needs to start moving land, because it's been too long, and this is too important for the city of Dallas in this regards. Mr. Allen?
Well said. No other comments.
Judge Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, may I speak directly to the council?
Well, please do.
Ms. Carraway, actually, I think this is District 3. I don't think the line got redrawn. And this is a project that we have been working on for 3 or 4 years. This is a project that provides, as she said, housing for veterans. And Ms. Davis, they could move there with the voucher, but they don't necessarily have to have a voucher to move there. That's the idea. I believe we should go forward because I believe it's a good project. Because of the housing, because of the tremendous need for housing for folk who go to the VA, and because it does help with the development along the Lancaster corridor. Now, as I said initially, Mr. Carraway, I could be mistaken about the lines, which is why I haven't been vocal before this point. But
I can't believe I'm saying that to you, but
but I'm not, because the VA is District 3.
I know, but on the other side of the street.
Did that get redrawn into District 4?
Yes, ma'am.
I accept the correction.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Griggs?
Well, this is one that, because there is quite a lot of money in land acquisition that's been spent. Is it $4 million, and how big of a site is this? What are we at on?
A seven-acre site.
Seven-acre site, and we've spent $4 million down there.
Keep in mind, that's not just acquisition. That's also demo and
and probably
appraisals
some
and things like that.
Appraisals and just the work on the developer, yeah, on the front end is that's some really expensive acquisition, even with the demos and everything else, to spend $4 million on 7 acres. So you're very confident that was there's documentation for all those expenses?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just say a couple of things. One, to Ms. Hill, I thought it was in your district at one point as well, but it's in District 4, and we've had meetings there. There was a meeting in October with the gentleman, as I said, Mr. Eagle, and they did bring some preliminary drawings that I was not just very comfortable with. But at the same token, it was a lot of imaginary stuff in there,
mm-hmm,
that could and might, suggested that could happen and may happen, and so I wasn't that comfortable with it. But at the end of the day, I was ready and am still ready to continue to move forward. However, I do want to make sure that we're very clear. As relate to other projects that are currently going on up and down Lancaster, these folks, we have a Rudy's, we're all familiar with Rudy's, for one. There are projects that have gone under construction, and Rudy's will open next month. The problem that I have with this particular project is that this is a project that the Dallas Morning News wrote about and saying that we've been sitting on and not doing nothing with the money. Not nothing has been done on this property. Not one thing. So I'm saying that we allocated $4 million years ago, and the property has sat vacant. Yes, there's been some houses and some demolition in that area, but the property has been sitting there. And then the fight and the concern that Ms. Davis brought up about other developers having to have to tussle and rush and do things,
while this project has been just sitting there, dry land, other projects since then are about to cut the ribbon, and they did it in record time. So that has been my pause and my concern with this particular developer, that we sent out $4 million, and whatever they did, whoever did it, you know, then people wrote about it, and even Ms. the lady from our congresswoman from Washington had to chime in on it, and everybody was going all kinds of ways with this particular deal. Is the reason that I have walked very carefully with this particular project, okay? Because I'm not going to end up in the middle of a mess, okay? Plus, I do want to make sure that the project that is there for the community is what the community wants, okay? And I had not had the opportunity to meet with the community to ask them what would they like to see. And that's the way I do my meetings. Now, with all that being said, understanding the position where we are today, Mayor, this is what I think that we probably should do. I understand we need to move forward. I've been on record saying with my opinion, I want to meet the developer again. I want to see the specific plans and where we're going and do things accordingly so that I can know what's going on and I can myself feel comfortable, but I do not want this project to interfere with any of the other projects that are currently going on Lancaster. I don't want this project to find itself in competition with another project that we have our sights on, and because of this project, and this project dies. Now, I want to be extremely clear that I want to and will be moving forward, but I want to make sure that starting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, consecutive days, that I am, somebody is in my office with the plans, with the owners, with the intent, and we're planning what we're going to do with this community. I want to know exactly everything. Plus, I want to back up and find out and get something in writing of all of the dollars that's been spent on this project thus far, and who they went to, who did this, and who did this, and what they were paid. Because just like Mr. Griggs has said, $4 million is quite an amount of money for 7 acres. So I want to make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. I also want to have another briefing in housing. Now, we're going to move this forward, but while this is moving forward, I want to come back to housing. I want all the information. I want to see the owners and all of the people involved, and I want the paperwork as to how this thing has moved forward to this point. So with that, Mayor, I'm going to move approval to move it forward with the stipulations of everything that I just said, and I'm going to continue to ask Ms. Davis to continue to lead the way and guide me through this process so that we can have what we have set out to achieve in growing south. I'm not going to stop anything growing south as long as we're growing. And this is a very vital part and will be, but it's going to have to be right like those other ones, okay?
I have one.
Thank you. Yes, I got that. So we have a motion and a second.
I have
2 seconds. And we're going to. We're going to. With this. Mr. Sheridan, please. Okay, we've got a motion, and we've got 2 seconds. Do we need to take public comment?
It was already open. It was already
okay,
open.
Okay, you
to
called
the
for that,
yes,
and
I
there
did.
Were no speakers. Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just talked to one of the developers based on this letter. What are you saying that? You're absolutely right. This letter is right. But what he liked to have, and he gave Bernie a copy of that letter to you, NAC, the language. He needs the 1 mile, 3 year ruling. That's the letter he needs to be put, and that's the resolution that he needs today, Mr. Caraway, to be approved. It says he wanted to say a 1 mile, 3 year ruling. That is what he wants.
Who's and he, Ms. Davis?
This is the developer who's working on Serenity, citywide CDC. what he said, this letter is absolutely right, but as a part of the tax credit, there is a three-year ruling. And there is a resolution that states that it's the 1 mile, 3 year ruling. So that, and he gave a copy to Bernie. Did he give a copy to you, Bernie? Where is it at, Bernie? So this is what I'm talking about. This is the frustration I have sometimes. Bernie, where's the letter at?
Let me clarify that we're only talking about Patriots Crossing today. We did after the meeting on Monday.
I understand that, Bernie, but you got to see, this is the problem.
We requested proposals from any applicants for 2014 9% tax credits.
I understand.
Those will be due on the 17th. With that, we've asked for them on their letterhead to request anything of you guys that they need. That way it becomes formalized to you.
Hold on. Let me just stop here. Are we still on item 8?
Yes,
was that question have to do with item 8?
Yes, it is. My question
has to
do...
Well, wait a minute. Folks are saying it's not on item 8.
Can AC please come in?
AC's not here right now.
Where's AC?
Mr. O'Donnell?
The item before the council today is Patriots Crossing.
And what I'm still talking about is Patriots Crossing. We need a resolution, because what you have, Mr. Mayor, you have Serenity down the street from Patriots Crossing. One is a 4% tax credit.
Yes.
One is an 8% tax credit.
Yes.
Now, when you send this 4% application in, this is a 2013 package. This public hearing should have happened in 2013. And see, can you come around to the front, please? And it didn't. So now it's happening in 2014, and that's why it's back to us today. Now,
Ms. Davis, if I may, I think I understand your point. And even though they're happening in the same year, EGOL's project will be funded under the 2013 and not the 2014. But the other clarifying piece of information in this is that because they serve different populations, even if they were in the same year, the 1 mile rule would not be triggered because they serve different populations.
And they recognize that. They do recognize that they are serving different populations, but it doesn't hurt to have a letter in the package, that says, especially Serenity, that they want a 1 mile, three-year ruling. It doesn't hurt to have it in the package. AC, can you come around real quick?
It's not within the 1 mile.
Right.
And Ms. Davis, you're absolutely right. It wouldn't hurt to do that in a future programs resolution. But for today, there is no 1 mile project that's been funded in the previous 3 years. So today's resolution doesn't need that special language.
Mr. Gonzalez.
What is it that Citywide gave you on yesterday to put a part of the resolution, or one day that y'all met? What was that he wanted to be a part of?
I think that he had included some information about waivers in the past, if that's what you're making reference to. If I might get to the chase in terms of this, my understanding is that it is not a requirement, not needed. What I had asked for was, if it does not hurt anything, to whatever extent we could represent that there's not an issue about the proximity of the other project, that we can indicate that. And I don't know what's the best way of making that happen, by letter or however.
And that's all I'm saying, Mr. Mayor. That's all I want. That's all that I think he is asking for. Point blank.
So Ms. Davis, I believe, hopefully to meet your request, we could send Robin's letter, her interpretation with both projects when they go down, so that it's clear that we were cognizant of the potential and that we had our legal staff address it. Would that meet your satisfaction?
Well, I'm gonna call the CDC, Citywide, because both applications are going in, and we're just making sure that it, one does not hurt the other. And that's all I'm trying to make sure that it does not do. Okay? And so we need to get with the city manager and
about what we need to do and how we need to present it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
And just as a clarification, I don't know if anyone's seen the memorandum that's floating around in the middle part of the page. It said no special resolution language is required for Patriots Crossing resolution to be considered because it does not fall under the rule right there. I don't know if that helps any, but that's what's stipulated there. But my comments on this, I did the calculation. You've got 7 acres, $4 million. That comes out to $13.12 a square foot. That's real expensive for land in that part of town, I can absolutely promise you. And I'm sure there's been some probably asbestos abatements and demolition of other property, et cetera. So I just like in an act of transparency, let's pull all the records down. Let's audit that file to see exactly what has spent. Doesn't mean I'm opposed to the project, but I just want to shine the spotlight on that potential of over cost overrun. And obviously, if we go ahead and do it, I mean, there's a need for the project in the area. And the point is we're going to eat it by the spoonful if we don't get something done by the end of the year. And it's going to be even more expensive then. Will we find another suitor in the near term? Perhaps not. So, but to be transparent going forward, we really need to get a handle on these kind of cost overruns. Just to do a real estate project, just to do a boondoggle, that's way, way too much money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Griggs.
I'll echo Mr. Callahan's statement. The land acquisition assembly there, I mean, this is $570,000 an acre down there. This is extremely, there's been a tremendous amount of money spent on this land acquisition. And so if we could look at this, maybe we could get some, find out where this went wrong on the land acquisition and assembly. This is going to be very difficult to grow south or practically in any part of town if land assembly just for land is reaching these very high prices. So if we could try to look at this, I know we've already spent the money, right? So the money's already been spent over the last 4 years, but analyze it and find out where things went wrong, and maybe we can help other developers and other individuals that want to get land together anywhere in Dallas, really, with these prices, to find a better way to do it, whether it's the appraisals that went wrong, cost so much, because I doubt it was the dirt. But then the other expenses, find out where it is, because we need to help other people to assemble land at a much lower basis, because it's going to end up impacting the quality of the project with such a high basis. This is a huge, I mean, they're not even vertical yet, and they're in this for $13 a square foot. We're not even vertical yet off of Lancaster. We got to find a way to get the basis, I think, closer to market so that we can get quality development. Because that's bottom line, is this going to impact the quality of the project in the day. So maybe, Chair Davis, with your assistance, we could bring this back to housing and really dissect this and do a post-mortem on it and find out what component of this really drove up the costs. And then really put out where some best practices are for other people assembling to find a better way to do it. Because this has to be, this went off the track somewhere, this train, and once getting up to this basis. So thank you.
Ms. Griggs, I think we all agree with Mr. Callahan and you on this issue. And that's one of the reasons why the clock's ticking and we either got to get something out of this or we're going to get an expensive land back. I will say, that I know for 2 years this property was negotiating with the VA because the VA was going to potentially buy the property or to do something that was going to be a bridge over to it, and that fell because the VA wanted to buy it all and they didn't want to sell it all. So we got in a business issue there that was problematic, but that doesn't have anything to do with the cost of the acquisition. Mr. Carraway, you've got the last word. And no, wait, I will say this, just from a process standpoint, Ms. Carraway. We went back to the videotape like we do in the NFL, and Ms. Rios did not call for public comments. So after, you want to wait to comment till we hear public, or do you want to speak now?
Well, I better wait now.
Okay. All right, I just want to let you know that. Okay. So Ms. Rios needs to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do apologize for that error. Any individuals that are interested in speaking on this item will be allowed 3 minutes. It is important that you stay to the topic at hand. You need to step up to the podium, state your name and address for the record, as well. Your comments need to be directed to Mayor Rawlings. If you fail to stay within the topic, you will be removed from the podium. Again, first speaker, please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, the name is Richard Sheridan. Live at 11661 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. And by the way, Mayor, it shouldn't matter if a project is across the street from a council member that's interested in that project because it's pretty much in the same community to give it up to a council member. It was just a Dallas Morning News article, an op-ed piece, that raises some major concerns about this project or any HUD or TDHC project. And maybe you have a copy of it.
Yeah, let's just be clear. We're going to stay on this project.
This is an issue.
We want
it's
to stay
an issue under this umbrella.
Just so you'll know, on this project.
Okay. So I know that Gwen Wooten shared many times to me that she would not want to live in South Dallas because of the issue of this project and the bigger picture of HUD and TDHC. The question is, will this project serve the need and mandate to integrate Dallas? I'm against it because I don't trust anything. Don't take this personally. But I don't trust anything that Dallas is doing in the area of affordable housing, low-income housing, that involves HUD or TDHC. It's that simple. And again, the Dallas Morning News, a great article. Buy some public housing sites. I recommend you all read it if you haven't read it yet. Thank you very much.
I'm Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. And Mr. Mayor, I think that we should, my suggestion is this, is that on this, and I'm going to call and talk to Mr. Daniels, well, he was our attorney in the voting rights lawsuit, and also he was the attorney in the Walker lawsuit. On housing, and I think that it should be pulled off until specific information is gotten, as the council member from District 4 asked. And also, you can't get around the whole thing about the HUD charges. Mr. Daniels states, even though that I can say there are separate issues between that project and HUD findings, those reasons will not justify the racial segregation that HUD found to exist throughout Dallas. And that's what needs to be addressed. And talking about all that money and stuff, that's why we continue to be in court on many issues.
Mr. Crenshaw, on this issue, let's talk about this issue.
It's going to come down. It's going to come down.
Are you for this or against
it? I'm for this. I'm for holding this thing off as a council member from District 4 asked until he gets all the information.
Thank you. Thank you.
You didn't ask for that. Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Thank you, because I do want Mr. Caraway to have the last word.
Yes, I do too.
I want to publicly state that I have some concern about comments which say that's too much to pay for land down there. Rising tides float all boats. Land value follows sales. And as some land is sold for a certain value, it raises the value of properties throughout the area. I wanted to publicly state that I have some concern with comments about land down there. We are building south, and we believe that down there has the same intrinsic value as every other part of Dallas. And I would ask my colleagues to be conscious of any language that implies anything different. I know you meant no harm. However, words do take life. I believe that is part of why we have had so much difficulty over the last two decades, because words take life. So while I understand that you meant no harm, I would ask you to be cognizance of the words that you use in describing the part of the city where I live, work, worship, and represent. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Davis?
Bernie, can you come back up, please? Have we done waivers in the past for tax credits?
Yes, we have.
Okay. And if we don't do a waiver for Serenity and this particular project, will you think one of them will be challenged?
I don't think it will hurt us to go ahead and add that into a resolution when that project is presented.
Okay. So, because they will, and they could, not saying that it could happen, but they probably will get challenged.
Well, the state staff, obviously from Robin's correspondence with them, they are indicating that they would not receive a challenge on that behalf because it just doesn't apply. But it wouldn't hurt us to go ahead and add that to future language.
Absolutely, because they could get, and I've seen it happen so many times with tax credit. We might forget about this meeting in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then they're challenged again. And if they're challenged, they might not even receive the 9% from Austin. That, and it doesn't hurt to put it in the language. That's all I'm saying. So if it come up, it's there, and because we've done it in the past. Can the other young lady come up? So what was discussed?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
When you talk to the attorney, so what language can we put into to the resolution?
Well, for today's resolution, we don't need any particular language because no project within a mile has been funded with tax credits in the last 3 years.
Okay.
For the next project, for the Serenity project, like Bernie mentioned, we could always put in language saying, if the 1 mile, 3 year rule applies, that you are still supportive of the project. That's what's required under the rule. If one of those situations applies, you have to acknowledge it and say that you're still supportive.
But these are going in. When is the Serenity going in, Bernie?
The 2014 applications are due February 28th of this year.
Okay. Okay.
We have, after the Housing Committee, sent out letters to all interested developers requesting specific information be supplied for you all's consideration.
I've got to keep us on topic here.
Sure.
Okay. We cannot talk about Serenity. All right.
I'm just talking about tax credits.
On this project, but
this project has been submitted to the state.
That
already.
Last sentence seemed to be all about Serenity.
So when does the 4%? When does this 4% have to be in?
It's already into the system at the state. The state has already approved half of it. They are in a public comment time frame with it,
and today is part of the public comment.
Correct. And so TDHCA will make its final decision on the 4% in February.
Okay, let me ask another question. The things that Ms. Caraway requested is on record.
Yes.
How do we make sure those things happen?
We will make sure that that developer is contacting his office for a meeting this afternoon.
Okay. Then he said bring it back to the housing committee itself.
Certainly.
When will we make sure that happens?
We'll see if we can't fit it on your next agenda.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, I feel like I need to respond to Councilwoman Hill's comments. My apologies for any insinuation by my perhaps poor use of wording down there in previous comments. No harm was meant. But let me substitute instead that there is really no land comparable price valuations for land at that given location on Lancaster Boulevard. Simply the math, there's just comparables don't exist for land values of that type, and I believe me, I live and serve in a similar part of town that has somewhat low land prices, unless you're talking about Buckner Boulevard on certain corners. But no harm, no foul was intended. My apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. All right, last word, Mr. Caraway.
All right,
you got it.
I'm gonna try to bring this thing to a close. Thank you, colleagues, for everyone for joining in and chiming in. I appreciate everyone's opinion. Ms. Davis, I appreciate your leadership on this project, and I appreciate you all's work.
I do want to make sure that I reiterate that beginning as quickly as possible, I want to have real meet Ryan, wherever you are, and Warren. I want to make sure that all of us are meeting on this issue until we can get it down to clarity. We're going to move this thing forward, okay? Well, we're going to move it forward with all of the things that we've asked to go to housing, make sure that the one-mile letter is there, and all of that. I want to have community meetings so that we can feel the community and involve them as they should be involved so they can know what is going on there. And I want to keep the negotiations and conversations open with veterans. This is a project and an opportunity, Mayor, as we continue to grow south, to bridge yet another gap. We have a beautiful project across the street already that is going to open up, I'm told, in March or April, and is next door to the Urban League, and this is just down the street, and we need to break ground on it. So I'm for that. But I want to make sure the I's are crossed, T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, and the T's are crossed. Mr. Griggs, I'm going to need your help as well so we can kind of define these things and we can move forward and we can continue to achieve our goals. But I don't want to find myself in the dark. Now, I did just receive this, but for me to be able to have to base my decisions on this kind of stuff is very, very troubling. I had a on the corner of Lancaster and Keith, they were breaking and tearing up the parking lot at Walgreens. And I didn't know what the heck was going on over at Walgreens. And was Walgreens moving? I didn't know if a payday loan or whatever was coming in or a pawn shop. Didn't even know. But no one had really gotten to me with this. But now, and I had to go myself to find out what was going on in my district on Lancaster. And that's another unfair process. But at the same token, it's an O'Reilly. So I'm pleased to have that. So, Mayor, we have O'Reilly coming, you know, as well. So there are a lot of positive things happening, but keep the dots all connected so they can run through and we have to go through all this stuff, okay? So with that, move approval. Let's get off.
We had a motion and seconds in the discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll take our afternoon speakers.
I'm going to read the speakers that are registered to speak for the afternoon session. If your name is called, please come closer to the podium to help facilitate the speaking process. We would really appreciate your help with that. Bob Plessinger, Harry Hall, Frank Ward, Eddie Probst, Sandra Scruggs, B.M. Randolph, Ewing Mosley, Ozumba Lunx, Marvin Crenshaw, Robert Ciccarelli, William Hopkins, LaCoya London, and Dolores Phillips. I'm going to recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. If any individuals make personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous, will be removed from the room. You need to state your name and address for the record. Your comments need to be directed to Mayor Rawlings. When you notice the timer turned to zero, as you're allowed 3 minutes to speak, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Your first speaker is Bob Plessinger, not present, Harry Hall. Mr. Hall, if you'll please come closer to the podium. If you actually come to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Speakers following Mr. Hall will be Frank Ward, Eddie Probst, Sandra Scruggs, B.M. Randolph, Ewing Mosley, Ozumba Lunx, Robert Ciccarelli. You may come up to the podium, sir. State your name and address for the record.
My name's Harry Hall. I'm at 1503 South Irvay Street. We have a huge problem, and I was here a year ago with the same problem, with the homeless going all through our area, trashing everything. They're feeding down on Grand and Irvay. They're letting the people just walk off with the food, with the containers. There's trash everywhere. They're looking in cars. This is part of the problem, and we're seeing this, the crime coming from this. If you get down on I-30, and I've called numerous times, matter of fact, I've called 311 and reported this about all the trash on I-30 on the Service Road eastbound. They're at Griffin, at St. Paul, at Harwood. There's people living under the bridge there. Their heads are about 5 or 6 feet from the edge of the street. I've called on this. Now, this is something that our code enforcement goes right by there every day. Our Dallas police go by there every day. They're doing nothing about it. Yesterday, they cleaned up. They got all the stuff out from underneath the bridges there. Today, I rode by there before I came over here. Those people sleeping there by the street are right back there again today. All of their stuff is right back there. This is up to y'all. Y'all have to do something to pass something that will make these people work. Make them do something. Make them clean up. That will stop them from coming back. But we're just letting them do anything that they want to. They walk through our areas. I've got pictures right here I'd like you to look at. They go through, they urinate on our property, they defecate on our property. Last week, I drove up to go to work. Here's two guys sitting on the bench on my property right under a no trespassing sign. They had to walk past another one to get there. They said, "We just wanted to sit down." I mean, they're all over the place. And then trash is spread out. Trash was emptied. There's everything up there. And they're not, y'all aren't doing anything to make them stop. We have to do something to help solve this problem. This is Welcome to Dallas. When you drive there and look at this, and it's Welcome to the Cedars area. One other item that I have, which is the good and the bad, I called Chief Brown's office. I was not able to talk to him. They wanted details about an officer that I wanted to talk about, that I wanted to talk to the chief about, not to their office.
Motion to extend.
Please go ahead.
We have an officer, Mr. Owens, Shane Owens, and I wanted to nominate him for Officer of the Year. And I tell you, in our area, he's the first person we've had in about 15 years that really does a good job. He needs to be commended for doing an excellent job in our area, and we certainly appreciate him. I wish we could have got a hold of Chief Brown to tell him. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson?
I'd like to hear staff's response to Mr. Hall's concerns.
Who would you like to have?
Whichever the appropriate staff member is.
Okay. I think we've got a volunteer.
I don't know if he's a volunteer, but I just...
So you have a couple of staff members.
I just want to hear what the staff response is to Mr. Hall's concerns and why this goes on and on and on and on.
We're working with sanitation, which is one of Ms. Forrest's departments, to do the cleanup. We're working with the police department to go through and enforce the ordinances and laws as applicable in these situations. And we're doing what we can do to get them out of there. We're working with TxDOT also. We have a meeting set up with Texas Department of Transportation to talk about the cooperative effort to a more permanent solution to get them out from under the underpasses.
But it isn't just out from the underpass. That's the one we're hearing about today.
Yeah.
So where's the enforcement on the loitering? Where is the enforcement that we were told would happen when we built the bridge? So all these property owners down there that have the urination and the defecation on their property, what are we doing about that?
There's ongoing enforcement every day, ma'am, that goes on down there.
But yet they keep coming down, these property owners, and telling us that it's the same thing over and over and over again. So where's our permanent solution to this? I thought the bridge was our permanent solution, but it isn't. So what's our solution to this?
From my perspective, ma'am, and this all it is my perspective, is there, it's a very complex situation. There is not any one solution. So the bridge is not the answer. Enforcement's not the answer. Building a coalition with the various departments and the other entities that can affect this, and getting everybody to focus on getting people help. There's substance abuse issues. There's mental health issues. working with our crisis intervention team, identifying those persons and services that are available to them to get them off the street. There's permanent supportive housing, transitional housing, working with the housing department. There's all kinds of things that go. This is an ongoing battle we've been engaged in since I've been here in 1988. So I understand the frustration. I'm frustrated by it also. But if it was a simple problem to solve, we would have solved it already. We're struggling to find what that is. And I, as I see it, it's a mental health, it's substance abuse, it's a transitional housing, it's a continued effort until we find somebody who can help us.
Ms. Grayson, I think your question is right on point, and sadly the answer is this. Okay, the answer is permanent supportive housing. We need about 1,000 units in this city to be able to put the homeless in, because the bridge is still at capacity, and it was never seen as a permanent solution. It was a bridge to permanent supportive housing.
That's what we were told, Mayor.
No,
so I'm just repeating.
No, I've made briefings that said it's not the permanent solution. Mm-hmm. It is a bridge to permanent supportive housing. Until we decide to fund permanent housing for homeless with support services, we're going to continue to have this issue.
Mayor, I would just beg to differ with you that I was on council at that time, and we were told this was the solution to the loitering and to the defecation and the urination issues for these business owners. And I'm just wondering how long they have to put up with it.
I agree with you.
It goes on year after year, and I think it's unfair to them. I think it is unfair to expect these folks to have to put up with this year after year, and their customers have to come to these businesses and deal with these issues. So that's why I'm saying, and frankly, I think by us continually asking, I'm hoping that that kind of lights a fire and gets something to move forward on this.
Yeah, and I'm sure you were told that. I was just saying I made briefings that said don't expect the bridge to solve the problems. We as a council have got to decide whether we're going to spend money for permanent housing, okay? If we're not, I believe we're going to continue to have these conversations.
You know, we have some of these hardcore homeless people who don't want to stay in that housing. They're placed in, and then they come right back out again because they want to be on the street.
Well, very few, by the way, because I've done the studies. Okay, it's less than 10%. Second, it's our whole mental health system is so badly funded. And we have closed down these hospitals, and our streets are our mental health institutions. So until our state gets serious about mental health, we get serious about permanent housing, we're going to ask the police to kind of take care of these issues. And that's not the best use of our police force, but that's what we do. Sorry.
I just got to tell you, I think I'm expressing the frustration
I know
that
you
I
are,
keep
and
hearing
I,
over
I,
and over from
you.
These poor people who have to put up with this day after day.
I agree with you. Mr. Cadang?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate those comments, Ms. Grayson, because at that point in time, there was a policy there would be no tolerance down there. And that is one of the largest areas that our police are called to daily. But on your deal, Mr. Hall, do you have a list of where they're doing this feeding and when they're doing it, and could you get that to Chief Cato, and maybe we could maybe come out and take a look at when it's happening and maybe correct some things?
Yes, I can. And one thing I wanted to say, and you brought up part of the point here.
But stay focused on his question, if you don't mind.
These people are just not willing to comply with rules.
Well, can you get those dates and times?
Yes,
Cato.
I have them.
Please, okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadang. The other issue is this whole feeding in public issue that, you know, have been in a court case issue on this. Thank you, Mr. Cadang. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And Chief Cato, if you could come back again, and Forrest, you may want to step up with him and enjoy everybody. Come on around here for just one quick minute.
Yeah.
Mr. Sabata. Yeah, yeah. Kelly, oh, yeah, you come on too, Jimmy. Kelly, Jimmy. Everybody come on right here. And let me try to crack this egg and deal with the problem that we're having. You know, yes, it is the feeding is a problem. And Ms. Davis is not here, but I want to also throw in another scenario that the gentleman is talking about that's in feeding. And it's at the foot of the bridge, and I've talked about this, at the Big D store at the foot of the MLK bridge. The gentleman, Mayor, and I spoke to you about it, he has called me, and he continues to call me, and he is crying and is screaming because people are hanging out, and they are, right now, he said, if you come there after 4 o'clock, and I invite all you all, please go today so you can see what's going on, but after 4 o'clock, they are there, parked on his parking lot, standing out around his store. And he has the decal, the no trespassing decal. He signed up for the program, but the people are there. This little guy is about 5'7". He's afraid to go into his own business. Okay, so I'm trying to relate that there are several problems. The feeding is a problem, and that is a problem that has been going on for years at the same store. It is not. He is not the police, and he should not go out and have to deal with 20, 30 guys out there shooting dice and doing everything that they're doing. They'll be doing it at 4 o'clock. I pass by that, and I see them all the time, myself. But nothing has been done. It has been reported. They're defecating and urinating and doing every single thing at that store. So that man is telling the truth. Now we need to put together some form of enforcement. Now where I'm going with this is that the police department, you're doing everything you can. Okay, so I'm with that. Mayor, you hit it on the head when you said housing. You hit it on the head. But the housing is not just something that the homeless need to have. What you have as well that's contributing to these problems, you have 600 people a month, Chief, being released out of the TDC. Are my numbers correct?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
600 a month is 7,200 people being released, and I'm talking about released to the city of Dallas. Am I correct?
To Dallas County.
To yes. Dallas County. 7,200 people a year are being released. Now, this has been going on year after year after year after year, and just do the last 5 years times 7, times 7,200 people, and you can see how many thousands are here. Now, with that being said, Mayor, what we have is when these people come here, they can't get a job because they are ex-offenders. And ex-offenders are being released to us, but they don't have a way to become employed. So they, too, are contributing to the very things, the feeding programs and the hanging out programs. So well, what we have to do is figure out a solution as to how we're going to get these people even some jobs. I believe in giving people a second chance, but I will not fight for a third, fourth, and fifth chance. But if we give these folks and figure out a way even to come up with the housing as we go through our demolition of 250 and we try to house our veterans and we try to house our homeless and we try to do something for the mental illness, but we also have to do something for the offenders that are coming out. Because that's where the problem is. And I'm telling you where it is. If you begin to check, when you see these people, you check their ID, and a lot of them have been through TDC. A lot of them have been through TDC, but they have nowhere to go. So I want to say let's clean it up, but then, Mayor, I think a solution should be how do we do this, how do we get the corporate people to also be willing to figure out how we can put some of these people to work. Because when that popsicle truck is driving down the street, and that little baby hear them little bells ringing, and the baby say, I want a popsicle, then daddy is not going to be embarrassed. He's going to rob somebody to get that baby a popsicle, or he's going to have to do something. So we have a mountain of problems that we have to figure out a way to work out. I just want to make sure we throw that out there so you all can know we have an array of problems, and we need to incorporate all of those things as we move toward trying to figure out what to do. And in the meantime, it's just enforcement. Go break it up now. Go break up that program down there. Go break up them people over there hanging out. But we have a responsibility as a council to figure out how we're going to do it. And that message is to us, the colleagues.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And this is, Mr. Carraway is absolutely right. There are many interrelated problems with this issue, and going into them now is not going to be that productive. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. One is that the nature of homelessness in Dallas is changing. We actually have done a good job on chronic homelessness. Unfortunately, that hasn't reduced the numbers of the homeless, which tells us that we now have a short-term homelessness problem, and we don't know how to deal with it yet. The other thing I was going to mention is that I think Councilmember Medrano and myself will be participating in the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance census at the end of this month, where every year we have to count the homeless to understand what the universe of the needs are. And the reason I bring that up is because those people who are listening or our fellow council members, if you want to come participate, it'll be more fun to go together. The other reason I mention it is that DPD has been tasked with something that's not really designed for, and I don't have a solution for that right now. What we need to demand of the police force is that they do the blocking and tackling every day on homelessness issues and write the citations and take people to jail when necessary. Not to be inhumane, that's not the point. The point is to assess the need, because we cannot be honest with the taxpayers and with Austin about what we need to fix the problem if we're not adequately assessing what it is. And so two things. Come with us and count the homeless. It'll be more fun than it sounds. And we need to demand that DPD follow through each and every day.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to echo some of what you said and Mr. Carraway said. And certainly in addressing homelessness, we need to continue our efforts to reach out to our suburbs. Homelessness is a regional problem in Dallas. We've got the homeless shelter, several other efforts underway, so we're doing all that we can do, and we are going to do more. But this is a regional problem that needs a regional solution, so I'd encourage us to continue to engage with our suburban neighbors on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
That's a good lead in. Philip, I appreciate your words also. I am on the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance Board of Directors under the government's convenience, because it goes right back to tying the whole groups together. You're exactly right. Dallas should be proud of what we've accomplished. You can just go back and look in the last 6-7 years, and the bridge has done really well. You can go to these other cities that we go to, and we still see people sleeping out on the streets much more than what we see in this great city of Dallas. Permanent supportive housing, without question, is the answer on this. I think we've all come to that realization, and we've all come to the realization that it'll be in our districts, all of our districts. And at the end of the day, it's turned out to be a very positive thing for each and every one of us. And then the best part about this is the Dallas Housing Authority, Marianne Russ, is just an outstanding asset for this community that we've got. She's reached out. She's given vouchers that would have gone one direction, but has made them available for our folks in dire straits. So Marianne Russ, Dr. Garcia over at the county commissioner's office, has been such an asset also. So good things are happening. Chief Cato, his remarks were right on target. So we just have to keep continuing to march forward. It did take, when MDHA, we were pushing a permanent supportive housing, and I think we just want to, as they come to the city, we'll want to get that WD-40 out and spread it. It's sometimes a challenge once we get to even the committee levels here. Mm-hmm. And we talk it around the horseshoe, yeah. But when it finally got down the nitty and the gritty, it takes a little while at the committee level. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to echo on a few comments that other people made. I certainly hear Ms. Grayson loud and clear. We're not exercising any zero tolerance at all. It's, and more to the point, we're being tolerant of it. We know it exists. Just a quick case study of that. I've befriended a homeless guy. He's a veteran from a Desert Storm, and his name's Michael, early 50s, out on the street. He's got veterans housing. He's got a disability check that's on its way. And I ask him, well, good, it looks like you're going to be off the street and you won't be panhandling. And he just says, no, I'm not going to lie to you, Mr. Callahan. I'm probably going to still be out here. And I go, why? He said, well, there's just too much money in it. And I said, for instance, last Christmas I made $2,700. That's just too much money to turn down. So the point is that we've got to move beyond that. And I agree with Councilman Kingston that, yes, we've got to write the citations. Yes, we've got to get the paddy wagon patrols. And I know we've seen some of that in my district, and we need to see more. But we just need to take them to jail and let them understand that there is an ordinance in place, or has been an ordinance in place, and we need to continue to do that. But it's not only just the fact that they're just out there with a styrofoam cup or a tin cup collecting, you know, the trash and the mud. They walk over all the grass. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous. You ought to see it. And the nest underneath the bridge. I had one of my supporters the other day. He went out underneath one of the bridges there at Buckner and 30 and pulled out two shopping carts, all kinds of beer bottles, wine bottles, plastic bags, trash, blankets. You get the picture. Just an absolute nest of stuff, and it's just a mess. It makes our community look bad, and also it threatens the consumers. They don't really want to go in our part of town because they go, well, we don't want to go over there because if I stop in 7-Eleven and get gas, they're going to be on me. And they do. Every time I stop for gas, you know, they don't know who I am, that I even serve on city council. It doesn't even matter. They come up to me, and they want to they want me to give them money. So I hope that in our planning retreat that we really get real about this and then really grapple with this issue, because it's not going to go away. I agree, permanent housing is part of the key of that, but just simply getting them a house is not going to keep them from going back and panhandling or being a vagrant or loiter. I also think we need to get real about something that I know Jennifer and I both are working on, an ex-offender program. You know, there's some good ones out there, and I know we've got the support of the mayor, and that's something that we need to continue to work through. But if we don't put these people back to work, then they're going to be tomorrow's homeless. So they're coming out, as Councilman Carraway said, you know, what, 600 a month or 600 a year? I didn't catch the 600 a month, and too many of them come to 75227 and 217 in my zip code. So unless we put them back to work, then they're going to be tomorrow's problem. And then that 4,000 that's on the street that are not in houses, it's going to be amplified. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to add, I agree. I think that this homeless issue, it's complicated. And to Mr. Griggs' mention, it's regional, and we have to be able to look at it regionally. I know that's how other cities metroplexes have handled it. But pointing out with DPD, and I think maybe this is something, Mr. Kadang, we could look at public safety, is what's their policy. I know DPT has informed me there's one issue related to TxDOT. TxDOT does not allow for DPD to enforce criminal trespassing when the homeless are encamped on TxDOT property. So that's, I think, we need to have a valid conversation with TxDOT, how we can solve that. And also, we really need to look at, if we're asking the police to make arrests, that is that the best valuable, you know, way for them to spend their time and their resources when they book somebody and taking them off the streets? So they need to be able to, I would like to see, you know, how they think, how they could help us a little bit more and how effective that would be.
Thank you, Ms. Gates. Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I definitely want to thank staff, because I actually was, it's District 2, and I get a lot of calls. You can ask my office every day about the Cedars, the farmers market, under the bridges. But I actually went out with Forrest and Cato Crisis Intervention last week, and they were doing what, you know, cleaning up under the bridges. I know it's temporary, but the business owners were calling us every day. They call, I think some of the business owners live in Miss Gates' district, and you know, they're running off their customers, they're stealing from their convenience stores, and so, but they are trying to do the best they can. So I want to thank staff publicly again for going out there and doing the best they can right now. So I know that we have to come up with a solution, but again, thank you guys.
Thank you, Mr. Medrano. Next speaker,
I will say thanks for mentioning the count. It is one of the great nights that you'll go on. You want to change your life? Go in this count. It is a fabulous evening. What's that? Mr. Kingston, what was the date?
Deadline to sign up is the 16th. There's information on my Facebook page. I also actually just got an email from the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance saying sign up for the count, so I'll forward that around as well. And thank you, Mr. Allen, for your service. Oh, was that Jerry Allen?
Thank you. Next speaker.
Frank Ward, not present. Eddie Probst. Sir, if you'll please come forward. Eddie Probst, not present. Sandra Scruggs, not present. B.M. Randolph. Ms. Randolph will be followed by Ewing Mosley, Ozumba Lunx, Marvin Crenshaw, Robert Ciccarelli, William Hopkins, LaCoya London, and Dolores Phillips.
Praise the Lord. I'm coming to give you let me say Happy New Year to each
Happy
of you.
Year.
I'm coming to give you a message in song. I'm not a singer, but who knows? I may be on American Idol. All right, bear with me. If you know the song, you can sing it along with me. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good time is still God in the bad time. The God of the day, council members, is still God in the night. I want you to be encouraged. And I'm going to say, Happy Valentine. So when you get a chance, you're going to get a slip of paper with the song written on it and a little puffy red heart, as well as a box of candy. So that can be passed out whenever it's proper. Thank you, and God bless you very richly. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker, Ewing Mosley. Mr. Mosley will be followed by Ozumba Lunx, Marvin Crenshaw, and Robert Ciccarelli.
Again, I'm Ewing Mosley, and I am still sober, even though you all didn't vote the way that I wanted you to. I am still sober. And the way that I stay sober is through the love, support, and understanding I have of my fellow man, and that's each of you. And I practice what Victor Hugo wrote in his book, Les Mis: to love another person is to see the face of God. And when I love someone, I'll take the bullet for them. I didn't realize I was supposed to speak a second time.
You don't have to.
Oh, listen. When I heard the man speak about the homeless,
gotcha,
that is something that I am hot on. I have been working for over 3 years with the deputy chief, Fuse, in Northwest on the homeless and the panhandlers on Stemmons and on Central and all over Dallas. And they make their living that way. And TxDOT says, oh, well, they can't do anything about it. They're sleeping beneath the freeways on TxDOT property. And there was a meeting 2 months ago at Northwest with TxDOT and an old lady attorney who was not very nice to our police officers. And they offered a criminal trespass like we do at the 7-Eleven and said that, you know, that way we could clean them up. The people at TxDOT had the audacity to walk out on our police chiefs. And that really got my hair up because I support our police 100%. New Year's Eve, I spent 8 hours in the police car with two of America's finest. And I encourage each of you to do a citizen's ride, and it will let you know how fine our policemen are. And at 80 years old, I can still do it. I did from 7 in the morning until 11 at night, Thanksgiving. And, I mean, I support my police officers, but for TxDOT to walk out on our police officers, that was unreal. And they said, well, it's public property. It's property that belongs to TxDOT, and they won't do anything about it. There is a meeting, as Charlie said, that where people from the city, from the police department, from John Corona's office, I've got John instrumental in it, from his office, and they are going to sit across the table from TxDOT and confront them with what they have to do. And Mr. Mayor, you know, I have the greatest faith in you next to my councilman, but I encourage you to pressure TxDOT to support our city and to clean up our city. They're down at the market center harassing our visitors.
Thank you all,
and thank you all for helping God to keep me sober another day. And I'll work with you on the count, Mr. Kingston. You know, I'll do anything in the world for you.
Thank you.
Because you're the best. Thank you all.
Thank you. I'm just in your shadow.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunx, not present, Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw will be followed by Robert Ciccarelli, William Hopkins, and LaCoya London.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I was thinking the other night that how blessed I am to have been involved in the city of Dallas and city politics with people who had vision, who might have disagreed with each other on different things, but Dallas was able to move forward. The first time I spoke at a city council meeting was in 1972. And at that time, there was a city councilman who was trying to tell the mayor, who was Wes Wise, that we need to stop that man from coming down here to speaking. The councilman was George Allen Sr., and the activist was Albert Louis Lipscomb. In 1979, there was a group of us that, four of us, decided that we were going to do something to unite Oak Cliff and South Dallas. And there was a man by the name of, his name is Khalif Hassan now, but we knew him then as Charles Paul Henderson, said we need to change Forest Avenue, and because it'll go straight to Oak Cliff. And we were all debating names, and we came up with Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. After we started going through that process, we ran into Mr. J.B. Jackson Jr., who was on the Martin Luther King Jr. board, who told us, whatever you do, don't give up. And the next thing we know, Ms. Higgins, Elsie Faye Higgins, was elected in 1980, and that whole process went through. And they were our mothers and fathers as far as the liberation of the struggle, as we call it, at that time. And I think it is just heinous for Ms. Higgins and Mr. Lipscomb not to be honored. We already have Mr. Jackson. That was sort of a fight internally. And we're having another one internally. They should be honored. I remember Mr. Lipscomb told me when we were over there dedicating the J.B. Jackson Francis Center, he was livid. And I said, Chief, when you leave here, you're going to have a whole lot of people there to see you. And he said, I don't want that. I said, what do you want? He said, I want you to do the same thing for me that you did for Mr. Jackson. You know, and I told him that, you know, someone would do it. He said, I don't want nobody else to do it. I want you to do it because the rest of them are going to mess it up. I said, what do you want? He said, I want that the one that was designed by William Sidney Pittman, Banker's Life Building. He always fought for that when he was on the council. But I think that in this city, Mr. Mayor, and it doesn't have to, we seem to can't get anyone from the southern half to do it. I think some of you must go, who knew Mr. Lipscomb, who knew Mr. Hurd or Ms. Higgins, to put it on the agenda and let the people decide what's going to happen. That's all I'm asking. Let the people decide, you know, if it's going to happen. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Robert Ciccarelli. Mr. Ciccarelli will be followed by William Hopkins, LaCoya London, and Dolores Phillips.
Good afternoon, everybody. Real quickly, Mayor, Mr. Medrano, I gave you a newspaper article with Bill Benson wrote about. Mr. Mayor, you're going to have to answer this to you and Mike Miles about all the students who have been leaving Colorado and Dallas. Sooner or later, you're going to have to answer why, if Miles is so good, why is 35% of the students leaving in Colorado? Ms. Grayson, this Friday, I heard you all talking. There's a meeting.
Mr. Checkwell, just speak
okay.
to me.
There's a meeting Friday, MDHA, library, 5th or 7th floor. I think the MDHA needs a spark and needs to show how much you're concerned about the homeless situation. Mr. Griggs showed up. I would hope all of you would come there and give a spark and get this thing going. They don't talk about housing at all. They talk about a 2-1-1 system, about if a homeless person can't get into a shelter, what other shelter can they go to? They've been spending about a year on this, and it's been a big waste. I really hope the city council can spark this up and send a message about the homeless problem. They're not doing it at these meetings. I've been going there for 3 years, and they don't ever talk about housing. Mr. Allen, I hope you show up. Mr. Mulvaney, Mike Fianza, all of you, please. They need your help very seriously. Right now, if we don't get this DISD under control, Mayor, you won't be able to talk about housing, homeless people. Right now, you know, the teacher accountability is going to come up in May, and all hell is going to break loose. 200 principals, Mr. Mayor, got you concerned last year. Now you're talking about 10,000 teachers. I say this again. You need to use the media, you and Mike Miles, about student accountability. What good is it if the teachers are doing the work and students don't do any work at all? Hard work, accountability, discipline. Do you need to use the media for that, sir? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's politics, but politics and education do not mix. You need to do this immediately or all hell will break loose. The teachers right now are scared of the students. The students know they run the teachers and all these observation Miles is doing, 18 of them, you know students are going to purposely misbehave on the teacher, and the teacher is going to do very bad. But, sir, if you send the message, what the problem is, I don't have the faintest idea why you're not doing this, about getting the students to work hard. You've never done it. Now, I've got Mike Miles to admit that his child and his teacher had a problem, and his child was a consistent problem. He admitted he would get on his child and not the teacher. See, between being the parent and the politician and the administrator, you think 180 degrees different. So please, sir, do this right away. Also, the block schedule at Lincoln High School. You never talked to Wendy Hawthorne, have you? What I've helped, how I helped Lincoln High School. You talk about helping South Dallas, but I've been talking about this for 2 years, about Lincoln and Wendy Hawthorne. Please, sir, humble yourself and ask her what I did, and it can be done. I can help out DISD and the homeless. Trust me. Please, Ms. Grayson, come to the meeting Friday, and all of you, show up.
Thank you.
Mr. Allen, too.
Thank
please.
You.
The next speaker, William Hopkins, is not present. LaCoya London. Ms. London will be followed by Dolores Phillips.
Hello, LaCoya London, 1873 Mockingbird. Okay, I'm here today because we had the senior citizens been having all kinds of problems. 2014, ain't nothing changed. But we don't really have no representation, Mr. Mayor. And they have a store, a licensed store. And the point of the licensed store is for everybody in the community to go to this licensed store. She says she don't want children in the store. The lady sell candy. The lady sell food. She sell everything. But it's a licensed store. It's like saying, you know how you had the 7-Eleven have the sign saying you can't come in with a backpack? It's like saying the kids can't come in at all, even if you have a backpack or not. So the point is, something needs to be really done because this lady is abusing her power. Sheena Jackson is abusing her power. She cannot say that the kids can't come to the store. It just don't make any sense. And then DISD, today, the kids didn't even have no heat in the building. And the stupid teachers are saying the kids can't wear their coats. Really? Hold on, brother. Something had to be done. You know, I had to call down District 1 to get them to do something about the heat. You know, my son came home and said they won't let us wear our coat and it's cold in the building. Okay, fix the heat or let them wear their coat. Matter of fact, really, go fix the heat. You know, my kids had the flu at the end of the 6 weeks, right before the holidays, two of them. And you mean to tell me they contributed to it and they were going to give them the flu again and you're going to give some more kids the flu? So DISD got to do a little bit better. Because it's no way in the world that you're going to sit up here. Come on. You're going to sit up here and just have the air off. And then it's 40 degrees outside, so it got to be 10 degrees in the building. That's just how it is. I mean, you cannot sit up here and do it like, come on, talk. And so the point is, want something done about that. Want something done about the lady at Providence of Mockingbird. Because her power, she done really overdid her power. That don't make any sense. But you want to say Happy New Year? Tell everybody Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Well, that's it. You're done. And that's all I have to say today. But something needs to be done about Sheena Jackson. You know, she done overruled her power. You can't say the kids can't come to the store no more. It's a licensed store. And DISD needs to fix their heat at KB Polk. Fix the heat all around the building, not in some areas. Thank you.
Your final speaker is Dolores Phillips.
Hi, my name is Dolores Phillips. Address, P.O. Box 530236, Grand Prairie, Texas, 75053. The first handout, a single page, is what I passed out, is showing my petition for rehearing for my FOIA documents the FBI failed to release. They released only 39 pages of hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents, and the documents that they did not release were showing the corruption of the altered 911 call back in 2009 that continues to go on right today. My question is, why do society in America believes that minorities supposed to pray their injustices away until their knees are oozing with blood? Now, mind you, my first contact with FBI was in 2008 before the call was altered. When Chief Kunkel was asked at one of his press conferences, did he see anything coming down the pipeline that concerned him? Was that his reason for retiring? He said no. Now, mind you, the 8:17 p.m. call back in 2009 that they said I never made was solved by a 911 call center operator, and that's on tape. That was taken to the FBI office as well. With that being said, I'm not understanding why you continue to cover up your corruption and act so unlawfully arrogant about your corruption. On October 25th, I had a meeting with Corporal Cotner. He was sitting over there. I'm not for sure if he's still there. That was October 25th. In these 29 pages of, with all due respect to Corporal Cotner, because he is a public official, it is doctored not to reflect the truth that I went to resolve the issue of the known alter 911 call. Corporal Cotner asked me, did I fear anyone doing any harm to me? I said to Corporal Cotner, it is no doubt in my mind that it is more than a few who are put on the road to harass me, to frighten me into the sad submission of silence. My truck was shot at July 19th. Corporal Cotner then asked me for numbers of my family members. I gave him my daughter, my son, and my mother's number. Each time I spoke the word corrupt and corruption, Corporal Cotner became angry. With that being said, he kept saying, so you fear for your safety. After that, after Corporal Cotner, October 25th, spoke with my mom, he became more angry. He gave me four options. He said, I'm going to give you four options. He never said the four options. He only said three. One, you go to Green Oaks voluntarily. Two, you either, when a DAP comes, if they say that you can leave and it's okay and it's safe for you to leave, you can go. Three, I take you forcefully. Before DAP came, he said, either way, you're going to Green Oaks. Now, mind you, I have reported to Office of the Civil Rights downtown that my education was deprived via Blackboard at UNT of Dallas by a Dallas Police Department investigator who is also a police officer at
Thank you.
DPD.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned, 3:33. Yeah.